It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Semi-miraculously, here we are off and running on this, the sixth day of June, 2022. It is the 78th anniversary of D-Day, the Normandy invasion, when the beginning of the end of Nazism took place. A bloody day, a historic day. And a day the members of whose contingent dwindle ever further. Oh, hi, I'm Robin. This is The Horn. It's Moran Monday on The Horn. And we'll get to the auspicity. Is that a word? My God, it wants, it is now. We will get to further auspicity of this day here in a little bit, but every program at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And what that means is that we begin with gratitude. So thanks go out to our subscribers of the 6th, the 5th, and the 4th day of June. What does that mean? That means we say thank you to Michael in Madison, and to Charlene in Rhodes Island, and to John. Thank you to Ralphs for her part of Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Thank you, Kenda in Missouri. Thank you, Kevin in Colorado Springs. Thank you to Kim and Malin in New Jersey. Thank you to Paul and Thomas. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program.
Thank you to Lady B for getting us started this evening. That means the fundraising goal is $590.
We managed to meet Bruce's Memorial Challenge on our historic first ever in-person Friday on the front porch at the Horn Inn. And so we've only got one other day of the beginning of June and today to fund. And, well, frankly, it is rather urgent that we do so, because we've got some bills that rather urgently, and I do mean urgently, need paying. And so if we can raise $590 this evening, we will be even through the first week of June. A word about the Horn Inn. I want to thank everybody who came out. I want to thank Roger and Patricia and Zed and MJ, and thank you so very kindly to Tara and Ralphs and her sister Susie. Thanks as well, a special new friend. I'd communicated with most of y'all, but I'd never heard that much from David in San Diego, and it was just absolutely lovely to get to know David. And I certainly wish him the absolute best as he moves up to Salem, Oregon, and begins law school in August.
We talked a little more about that on Sunday as people began to get away. But we had a wonderful time. And I think there, like I said, there is consensus that this needs to happen again. So I looked at the calendar. Mark your calendars. Save the date, as the saying goes. June the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, 2023, Horn In number 2. Horn In 2. Because, again, it never rains on the first Saturday in June in this part of Appalachia. And that was the case as well for this past weekend. We could not have had better weather. I could not have ordered it up. Yeah, Thursday was gray and rainy and a little thundery even, but it all cleared away. And by the time that we started engaging in all of our festivities up to and including the Friday on the front porch, it was nothing short of magnificent. And the magnificence continued through Saturday. It was such a delight to attend Beckley Pride with members of the Horn community. Delightful. And then Sunday we did brunch at Tamarack, which was yummy. And, well, I one of the most gratifying parts of the whole Horn In was what was said to me on several different occasions. And that was, we have heard you talk about how much you love West Virginia for years and years and years now. And now we know why. We know why. And that just absolutely made my, it made my heart swell with pride. And I could not have asked for better company over the course of this weekend. So the other consensus was that more people need to participate. We need to have more people there. You know, Joey showed up. Thank you, Joey, for being there. Joey, and if you were listening, and by the way, that's a program note. I still have to get the podcast up for Friday because I have to upload it on the production machine here, and there was so much. It's been a very busy weekend, and I'll explain why. Because all weekend long, the biggest question was not, is it going to rain, or will the food be fit to eat? The biggest question was, when's the baby going to get here? Well, and all weekend long, I said, well, listen, if the balloon goes up, I got to go. And everybody was like, cool, yeah, we get it. Well, the balloon never went up. Little Lily was such a little lady. She waited until everything was said and done to arrive. Thank you, Scott. I'm sorry. I didn't see it come in. I appreciate you and thank you. So let's say, okay. So, 580. Thank you, Scott. But, you know, Joey showed up and brought Jeffrey and Junior and Joey too, the kangaroo, who has my heart. He's such a tiny thing. And we had a wonderful time. But Joey also brought little license plates because, you know, just like my significantly large woman, the suspiciously large woman plate, only smaller. Joey brought those, not knowing who might show up or might not. And so, you know, on Friday, we went over the various people whose names he kind of name-checked along the way. And it would be wonderful to see more people participate next year. So I don't know exactly how I'm going to set it up, but it will be a fundraiser because there are things I still have to have done. And I would love nothing more than to have enough lead time to really step it up another notch. The facilities were wonderful. The people were nothing short of kind to all of us. I feel like we made new friends. So, yeah, I'm planning on there being a Horn-In 2, as Stephen New York points out. Horn-In 2, June 2nd, 2023, 20 years since graduating from law school. I'm thinking I almost have to be there unless I've moved to Wellington, New Zealand at that point. Well, I think you still have to be there even if you have moved to Wellington, New Zealand. So there. It was all just so much fun. But, yeah, as to the particulars, this morning, June the 6th, 2022, 78 years since the Normandy invasion, little Lily Lee came into the world. And she was welcomed by a loving mama and a loving papa and three loving grandmothers. And it was there for part of the time. Lily's mama was right there with her during the delivery. And my son's fiance was an absolute trooper through a pretty rough delivery. But little Lily Lee came into the world at all of 6 pounds, 2 ounces. When I woke this morning, I saw the photographs, and she is perfect. She is an absolute doll. She is a gem. And the minute I saw her face, well, I cried tears of joy and amazement. She looks for all the world like a little elfin princess. And she's got reddish hair and a little dimple in her chin and her daddy's blue eyes, which her daddy got from me. And I could not, I mean, I'm absolutely blown away. So it's been a very busy day. I got everything together here and got over to Beckley and didn't want to be there too long because God knows mama needs a rest. But when I got into the room, I kind of teared up again. There's something. Well, I don't want to get maudlin at all, but there's something decidedly different about grandparenthood from parenthood. And well, you know that song that Freddie Mercury and Queen, Freddie sings in the first Highlander movie. Where he sings, oh, I know, we got a fundraising goal, but I'm going to sing anyway. Where he sings, who wants to live forever? Well, who knew I could sing in so many keys at the same time? Well, the answer is me. Me. I do. Because I want to see my grandkids all reach adulthood. And I want to see them be happy and brilliant and beautiful, handsome, happy. And I felt that, well, it was like a ball bat in the head when I set eyes on little Lily Lee. And the Lee in her name is for her great-grandfather. It was his middle name, my father. And, well, I thought it was especially auspicious, him being, you know, he fought in the South Pacific. But he had a brother who marched across Europe. And I thought there was a nice rounding to the way it all worked out. I'd threatened if she was born on June 6th, I was going to nickname her D-Day. But no, she's just going to be little Lily Lee. And she is going, I have a pretty good feeling knowing the other grandmother and having met the other grandmother today, I have a feeling that little Lily Lee and her big sister are going to be absolutely spoiled and absolutely, surrounded with love as they grow up together. I guess the way it works out, I guess Lily will be in eighth grade when her big sis is graduating high school. Yeah. Oh, but it was sweet. And she picked a heck of a beautiful day to be born. And there were no natural disasters or anything like that. So we can tell her as she gets older, you were born on probably the most beautiful day of 2022. Arthur, if I do a Kickstarter for Hornin 2, those things are only good for 30 or 60 days, and if you don't make all the money, you don't get any of the money. So that lets Kickstarter out. Maybe another GoFundMe. We'll see. Arthur says, stop telling us how wonderful your new relatives are, Robin. No, Arthur says, I'm glad the birth went well. We all are. And tomorrow, mother and baby will go home tomorrow. And Lily's big sister is being such a wonderful big sister. She's absolutely mesmerized with little Lily. And it was just so sweet to behold. June 6th birthdays, Matt in San Francisco says, my dad and his twin brother were born on this day. I'm sure that little Lily will be an amazing human. Matt adds, my dad passed when I was 18. However, my Uncle Bob celebrates his 91st birthday today. So let's do a $91 birthday D-Day fundraiser challenge. Well, thank you, Matt, and happy birthday to your Uncle Bob. Just thank you. So, if that's met, that'll be $182 off the fundraising goal, and the $91 birthday D-Day challenge is on the table, courtesy of Matt in San Francisco. Thank you. Lily. Lee in New York says, I was sure that the Lee was not for me or that infamous war general or the car from Dukes of Hazzard. We'll put an asterisk there, and we'll remember it honorarily in on your behalf, Lee. But definitely not that traitor from Old Virginia, or that car from the Dukes of Hazzard, which was named after the traitor from Old Virginia. Maudlin, says Steve in New York. Bite your tongue. It is patently impossible for a grandparent to be maudlin about a grandbaby. Yeah, I agree. And I sat there looking at her, and she's an eager eater, by the way. But I sat there looking at her in her mother's arms this morning, and I thought, I can't wait to start reading her stories, and to hold her and feed her. And that made me think about what do I want to read to her first? And I was thinking Prosser on Torts. If Annette just heard that, she's going to come back here and probably smack me upside the back of the head. No baby of mine's ever going to be a lawyer. Yeah, I know. Scott in San Diego says, tell Lily Lee, welcome, new person. We apologize profusely that she arrived in a world still containing Trump and Dick Cheney. You know, that reminds me of something, Scott. Thank you for bringing that up. Henry the K., Henry Kissinger just recently celebrated his 99th birthday. And we have on occasion here at this program remarked upon the injustice of the fact that he has lived such a long life without ever having to answer for his many, many crimes. And I was actually ruminating on that the other day. And I sort of wondered to myself, I mean, I think it's a fairly safe bet that Henry Kissinger has managed to exist his entire life without a conscience. Maybe he's lasted this long in an effort to give him an opportunity for remorse and repentance before he enters the great void, the great nothingness, where his whatever his soul is will be consumed. And maybe that, and you know, we could easily expect that a culture that was that developed in the fiery heat of a desert wasteland like the Middle East, that they might imagine a place of eternal torment as being a fiery place. But if you're into any kind of spirituality, and I'm not talking about organized religion, yuck. But if it is the case that there's a soul and that it goes somewhere when we're done, maybe it is a fact that when one does so much evil that instead of returning to whatever the greater quantum of spirit is, that maybe the soul of a Henry Kissinger gets snuffed out, and not in a good way, like in achieving enlightenment and nirvana in Buddhism, but it is just cast into an outer darkness where it has no congress, no collegiality with the greater soul energy of the universe. Oh my God, somebody get out the sitar. But that, you know, these are the kinds of things that enter my mind in the dark and still of the evening. And maybe that explains the 99 years of Henry the K. Maybe he falls asleep every night hearing Dick Nixon in his head. Dick Nixon, before he dicks you. Think,
those the Jews, Henry, the Jews. It was always the Jews.
Ah, yes, mein Führer, I mean Mr. President. Thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs just jumped in on the D-Day 81, or the D-Day 91 challenge. So that means there's $80 to go on that. Thank you, Ralphs. And it was such a joy to meet Ralphs and her sister Susie. We had some lovely, lovely conversations, and it was wonderful to hear the responses of folks as they went out and looked around in the greater New River Gorge area and came back to report what they had seen, because there really is a lot to see here. And one of the more fascinating observations came from Roger, who said, "This fog is different from West Coast fog," and went on to explain. Hopefully, maybe on this coming Friday on the front porch, he can go into greater detail on that. I love that. Yes, it did, and I did mention that. Thank you. Thank you, Jude. Jude says, "I sent $10 hearing everyone at the horn, and it was grand, even though I only caught the last hour. Congratulations, sweet grandmothers, you and Annette." Thank you, Jude. Thank you, dear Jude. Thank you. Lady B said, "This little darling, my great niece, was born 11 years ago today. She's starting middle school this fall." Oh, she's wonderful. What a beauty. So, well, we've got a couple of June 6th birthdays to celebrate. Thanks for letting. Well, and there it is, another one of those odd little intersections between Lady B and me. They keep popping up, and I don't think either one of us expected, well, anything of that sort. And Lady B sent several essays along last week during the horn-in, and I'd been sitting on them for a while, waiting for, well, this program. But Lady B said, forget about all I wrote. I don't forget the things you wrote. What I'm sending you is short and sweet. Have a good show. And she sends me the thoughts of a person unknown. How about we treat every young man who wants to buy a gun like every woman who wants to get an abortion? Mandatory 48-hour waiting period, parental permission, a note from his doctor proving he understands what he's about to do, a video he has to watch about the effects of gun violence, and an ultrasound wand up the ass just because. Let's close down all but one gun shop in every state and make him travel hundreds of miles, take time off work, and stay overnight in a strange town to get a gun. Make him walk through a gauntlet of people holding photos of loved ones who were shot to death, people who call him a murderer and beg him not to buy a gun. It makes more sense to do this with young men and guns than with women and health care, right? I mean, no woman getting an abortion has killed a room full of people in seconds, right? Precisely. Of course, something like that would require a great deal of political courage. And, well, the right to an abortion was deemed a constitutional right every bit as much as the right to get a blue steel penis extension gun freedom protector. But if passed as prologue, sometime around the end of this month, those... six jurisprudential thugs, those six legalistic maniacs of the Federalist Society, or at least five of them, will tell women that they no longer have those same constitutional rights relative to their bodies as young men have relative to engines of warfare, death, and destruction. And I guess it means the opinion is still circulating, and there haven't been any more leaks. I guess, although those Supreme Court clerks are finding they're getting a little dose of what it means to. Well, I mean, they didn't go to Harvard so that they could be a law clerk in the Supreme Court and be told that they had to turn over their phones for inspection. By a paranoid Chief Justice trying to figure out a way to get around acknowledging what everybody else pretty much has landed on, that is that the leak probably came from Sammy Bad Breath Alito or one of his clerks. Start with his clerks, John Roberts. Leave Sonia Sotomayor's and Elena Kagan's and Stephen Breyer's clerks out of it. Thank you, Scary Jerry. Scary Jerry says, oh my God, you're Big Mommy now. I've had some recent unignorable health hiccups. I'm gutted. I missed the horn-in. Shit's been delightfully psychotic. Love and kisses. We'll try to call in soon. By the way, I have a sneaking suspicion that they're building a separate wing of hell for Henry Kissinger, lighting the patchouli as we speak. Your Henry K. narrative reminds me that my dearest Miss Carolyn did a celestial LeBron passing at the age of 55, she just got drafted as a sophomore out of college. Be well, Scary Jerry. Be well, my friend. Scott says Henry the K's immoral soul, and I think he spelled it immoral soul on purpose. Henry ain't got one. Lost it in a card game with Pol Pot. Wow. I had neglected to bring the cowbell with me to the horn-in. That will not happen twice. I'm making a list, and I'll be checking it. Ralph says, hell yes, Lady B, treat gun purchasers like women wanting to get an abortion. Absolutely. Let's see, a couple more things just to bring to your attention, courtesy of the email bag. Under the heading of This Man Wants to Be Governor, a link Gun debate publicly escalates between North Carolina's governor and lieutenant governor. What's amazing is that a large number of people will vote for him. His name is Mark Robinson. We have talked about him in the past. He describes people like me and other members of the LGBTQ community as disgusting, and that's the mild language that he uses. The state and the country, Ron observes, are in dire straits. Looking at the results of the latest primaries give a solid hint. We're on the downhill side of the slippery slope of Christian nationalism and authoritarianism. Marginal trailer queen won big in Georgia. The fascist loon in the governor's race in Pennsylvania won the Republican primary. All over the country, people are voting for people that shouldn't be anywhere near the levers of power. The link, Ron and Raleigh says, is to Lieutenant Governor Robinson talking at a church. Oddly, he speaks at churches more often to the secular public about his reason for owning an AR-15. Christianity has changed, Ron notes, since I left it behind. Oh, yeah, I think that's probably, yeah. No, Randy Radar, Henry the K has not kicked a bucket yet. In fact, he just recently celebrated his 99th. Mark Robinson is of course engaged in a seventh grade slap fight with the governor, Pat McCrory of North Carolina. And here's the upshot. Why am I not hearing it? Oh, because I've got... Oh, God. One of these days I'm going to have a producer.
I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm probably not supposed to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Lieutenant Governor Robinson acknowledging in this video he was about to take the conversation in a direction.
I'm going to say it to you plain.
In a direction? In a direction. Just sort of generically, in a direction. That there is what you call some professional broadcast reporting there. He's going to take things in a direction. Not entirely sure what the direction might, be. Let's try this with a little bit better audio. Because it doesn't seem to be too particularly good at the moment. Okay.
I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm probably not supposed to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson acknowledging in this video he was about to take the conversation in a direction.
Still kind of, I don't know, mesmerized by that, in a direction. I mean, don't all conversations go in, a direction? I know, I'm probably being a little rough. The art of word knowing and all of that. Wonder what direction that might be.
I said to you plain, your boy ain't going down without swinging.
He explains why he keeps AR-15s and says it is not for target practice.
I got them AR-15s in case the government gets too big for his britches.
Yeah, because he, Mark Robinson, is going to shoot all his AR-15s at the same time. Yeah, hallelujah, glory Jesus. Funny how these Christians never get around to that whole them that lives by the sword shall die by the sword. Well, Jesus was talking about swords then, not AR-15s.
Because I'm going to fill the backside of them britches with some lead.
Governor Roy Cooper taking aim today and sending out a scathing response, essentially calling Robinson dangerous. The governor tweeting, an elected official sworn to uphold the Constitution, advocating violent overthrow of our government, shames North Carolina and puts our safety and democracy at risk.
Of course, I mean, I agree with Roy Cooper, not Pat McCrory. I don't know why I said that. Roy Cooper, I agree with him. It does all of that. But then again, it would not be the first time that North Carolina tried to overthrow the government and subjected itself to its own shame and put the safety of the Union and our democracy at risk.
The lieutenant governor firing back, hurling that no one with a brain thinks I'm calling for people to attack government officials. He goes on to say the governor, as well as attorney general, are skewing his words because, quote, they are scared of me and they don't want me to be governor. Ashley Clayton owns a gun and grew up around them in a law enforcement family. I showed her the video in question.
Because I'm going to fill the backside of them britches with some lead.
I love how whoever it is that whatever the computer is that generated the closed captions on this doesn't speak Southern, because the closed captioning reads, "I'm gonna fill the backside of them bridges, B-R-I-D-G-E-S, with some lead bridges, not britches." Which is a dialectical, kind of comes, but well, it's a dialect pronunciation of breeches, B-R-E-E-C-H-E-S, breeches, which is an antiquated word for trousers, which is an antiquated word for pants, which it used to be illegal for women to wear, never mind.
And that's the kind of rhetoric that needs to stop.
She's been heartbroken over the Texas school shooting and thinks of her own kids. She wants to see more legislation that supports responsible gun ownership.
And now I'm at the point where enough is enough. No more excuses. Stop talking about it. Do something.
Yeah, do something. Well, you know, what Mark Robinson wants to do is get more people to buy more guns. So I don't know, maybe they can use it on people like me. We'll get to the latest terrifying round of viciousness against thank you, Ron. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know why I said Pat McCrory was the Republican governor before Roy Cooper. Thank you. It wasn't. Do I have that right? Something like that. Thank you, Ron. Robs wants to know: Is Mark Robinson's accent in North Carolina or some other accent? No, that's a. That's a North Carolina, that's Tar Heel accent, yeah. Or some kind of Southern. Coos in North Carolina. Coo. Stephen, groups of anti-Castro pigeons drinking in bars saying coo. Peace be upon Bill Hicks, the prophet. Coups in North Carolina. I thought I recalled this. North Carolina has a history of overthrowing elected government. The Wilmington insurrection of 1898 being one of those instances. That was another horrific chapter in this nation's history of vicious, virulent, toxic, bloody, filthy white supremacy. Lieutenant Governor Mark, don't you know? Well, never mind. Let's see. That's Lieutenant Governor Uncle Ruckus to you. Jeremy says, gonna fill the backsides of them britches. Doesn't that mean he's gonna shoot people running away from him or in the back? Freedom! Wolverines! Yeah, I know. Well, you know, but, I mean, he, after all, one of his favorite Supreme Court justices, years and years and years ago, before he even got to the Supreme Court, came out in favor of, shoot him in the back, Gomez, shoot him in the back. But, yeah, you're right. You're right, Jeremy. So, well, there's him, and then, well, I say this advisedly. Let's go to Ahia. Or not. So, in the waning days of the Ahia legislature session, they had hearings on taking medical care away from trans kids. And they had hearings on trans athletics bans, even though there's few, if any, documented cases of trans athletics in Ahia. But they came up with a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. And the bill they passed is a humdinger. It's a... Well, let me go down here and just find the basics. What the Ohio legislature did was to, at the last minute, amend a bill into a bill that had the trans athletics bill into a bill that had absolutely nothing to do with athletics or with kids or anything else, because that's the, you know, that's just the dirty way that Republicans do politics. It's what the bill does. Because, see, if you're a Republican in Merca now, you're in a constant, and I've talked about this in the context of, you know, right-wing talkers. They constantly have to one-up each other. Saying outrageous things and making up outrageous things to be outraged about. One individual, and with regard to the Ohio bill, what they did is they created a genuine nightmare scenario. An individual posted a picture of their daughter and said, "This is my daughter. She just turned 9. Here is why I would never allow her to play middle or high school sports if we lived in Ohio. A few days ago, the Ohio Republicans passed a change to state law that was snuck in at the last minute under the guise of protecting girls' sports. This law allows anyone to dispute the sex of an athlete on a school team. Anyone. Anyone. There are no safeguards in place to ensure that this is not used maliciously. We'll get back to that. Girls who do not look feminine enough, girls of color, girls who are too good at the sport, are likely to be the biggest targets. But any girl could be targeted. Maybe someone doesn't like her parents, or maybe someone wants to make sure the opposing team doesn't have enough eligible players. So what does a girl have to do to prove she's a girl? Well, first, the physician has to examine the girl's external and internal reproductive anatomy. I have to emphasize that this will impact girls as young as 5th or 6th grade, 10 to 11 years old, a year or two older than my daughter, the author says. Thank you, Joy in Ann Arbor, for posting this. Step one to proving your correct sex is female. A doctor will need to spread open your labia and examine the size of your clitoris. A clitoris that is too large could be a sign that you are intersex and not female enough for female sports. Step two to proving your correct sex is female. A doctor will then insert one or two gloved fingers inside your vagina while pressing against your abdomen with their other hand so they can feel your uterus and ovaries. This will likely be quite painful for these young girls and extremely traumatic. There is no medical reason to do a pelvic exam on girls this young absent any signs of a problem. This is a sexual assault and will traumatize these girls. That is by design. This part of the exam would probably be covered by insurance, depending on how it's billed, but these next two steps would likely not be covered for most people. Step three to proving one is sufficiently girl. Well, your blood will be drawn and your testosterone levels measured. How much testosterone is too much? Well, there's no real answer on that. Does having high testosterone give girls an advantage? No, not always, but this bill leaves no room for nuance. The child's blood will also be tested to see if that child is XX or XY chromosomally. Except that not everyone is XX or XY, and there are XY women who have no advantage in sports because of the nuances of their genetics, but that won't matter here. This bill offers protection from retaliation This bill offers protection from retaliation for people who report an athlete they suspect is not truly female. There's no requirement that they make these reports in good faith. There's no protection for the athletes accused of lying about their sex. Any athlete who suspects they were harmed by an athlete who lied about their sex can sue that school district if that athlete's parents are unwilling to have their daughter sexually assaulted or cannot afford the testing. The district will have to pay money to the accuser. So, from an administrative standpoint, you basically have to require that all female athletes do this testing in order to play interscholastic sports. Otherwise, your district is in danger of having to forfeit games and losing litigation if you don't have the paperwork up front. Interscholastic sports in Ohio will only be accessible to girls whose parents are willing to subject them to sexual assault and very expensive and unnecessary blood work. Congrats to everyone trying to save women's sports from your trans athlete boogeyman. Is winning the most important part of high school sports? Because setting aside the incredible trauma and expense caused by this bill, at the end of the day, the message is that winning is what matters most. That's not the lesson I want my daughter to learn from sports. No, it isn't. And the fact of the matter is, if this law goes, if it's signed into law, and I've not seen a follow-up as to whether it was, but if it is, and it probably will be signed into law because it's part of a bill that has absolutely nothing to do with athletics, and the Republicans did that so that it would be signed into law. Well, and that would be Mike DeWino of the governor of Ohio, Republican. He's one of those common sense Republicans, one of those maybe not quite so Trumpy Republicans that people, the multimillionaires on the morning shows get so wrought about. But he'll sign it into law. And then the state of Ohio will be sued. And the state of Ohio will spend money defending the lawsuit. And if it so happens that it's not enjoined and goes into effect, and I hate even saying this, but it is what it is, then, well, they need to get their wish. They have prayed their prayer, let them have their answer. When the daughters of the good Baptist ministers and the granddaughters of the Republican legislators decide that they want to play field hockey or lacrosse or basketball, volleyball, softball, whatever, there needs to be an organized movement ready to say, we don't think she's a real girl. Subject her to the testing. I know that sounds mean, but then again, the bill is mean, and they drafted it to be mean, but they never dreamed of who they'd be mean to. Now, of course, Republicans being Republicans, they'll say, "Well, no, Doc, you can just put her up in that." Yeah, sure, she's 9 years old. Put her up in the stirrups. You don't have to grope around in there or anything. Just look. I mean, see, look, she's got one. Okay, that'll be enough, right?
It's not gonna be much better for a child. But make them own it. I think, wasn't it Gandhi who first said that it is imperative that we make power structures and authorities and governments be forced to live up to the rules that they themselves promulgate? Well, this is one of those cases. And, of course, what they will be doing, what these Republicans have done, as that author pointed out, was to effectively destroy girls' high school sports. All because they are ignorant and bigoted. Pathetic. Arthur says, the only thing missing from that bill is that principal or superintendent has to have sex with the students just to be sure, and they pretend to be concerned about children. Oh, God. Well, that's the problem, though. I mean, especially in your church schools, there's no guarantee that the principal or the superintendent isn't already having sex with the little children. I know. Make them own it. This is what they want. Give them their dreams. And of course, they timed it, these godforsaken Republicans in Ohio, to be passed on the first day of Pride Month. Because of course they did. This bill applies to secondary schools, state universities, and private colleges, that they shall have single-sex athletic teams and sports for the male sex and female sex. Hey. The funny thing is, there's already a law in place in Ohio that says a trans girl has to be on a year of hormone treatment, or at least demonstrate they don't have any physical or physiological advantages if they want to play girls' sports. And in the entire state of Ohio, there's only one trans girl participating in high school athletics. And that's according to the Ohio State High School Athletic Association. Dr. Beth Liston, a member of the Ohio legislature and a Democrat, said that there's never been more than one trans student participating on a high school girls team in any given year in the last 7 years that the OSHAA transgender policy's been in place. There are not scores of girls' dreams being crushed. There's one child trying to play on their high school sports team. This is a made-up controversy, and this amendment is state-sanctioned bullying against one child. Well, Stephen New York points out, it's not sexual assault, call it what it is, rape. Under Article 7 of the Rome Statute establishing the International Criminal Court, this is a crime against humanity. Even before the Rome Statute, this was a crime against humanity. If it's part of a widespread or systemic practice, a law that the legislature passes calling for this seems pretty systematic to me. I think it is. And, of course, a trans athlete in Ohio did speak up and speak out. Ember, E-M-B-E-R, and her mom interviewed on MSNBC. She said, I just want to be able to be myself. And no idea why the audio is not playing. Never mind. It'll be one of those evenings. So this is all part and parcel of an overall attack. And it really is depressing and infuriating. But, well, trans kids and their moms and dads are not, I mean, there's only one kid in Ohio. They are not of enough numbers to be able to affect the outcome of this without cisgender allies. So if you're in Ohio, be an ally. Speak up and speak out, and don't hide your light under a bushel on this, as it were. But it is Moran Monday, and I saw a link earlier, a story earlier. It came out of the Atlantic, and I couldn't resist. Hold on a minute. Ron in Raleigh says, tell me, the fact that a legislature would pass some draconian bullshit like this isn't a portent of the end of our democratic experiment. Ohio won't be the only state that passes a law like this. You know how Republicans are, monkey see, monkey do. Well, in fact, Ohio is kind of late to the game on this. Idaho, Alabama, I think Missouri, Texas, these trans sports bans are the fad of the moment for the 2022 election cycle, and you know that's part of it. It's an election year campaign strategy, because it's a, again citing the prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, a good dollar. But I saw a story earlier today, like I said, out of the Atlantic, and it gave me, oh, I guess this falls under Schadenfreude, but there's not enough there's not enough horror involved. But for some reason, you know, one of the editors at the Atlantic dispatched a reporter by the name of Jennifer Senior to exchange texts, emails, and sit down for an interview with the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, Steve Bannon. And racist Bannon, come here, bandit. Racist Bannon is apparently a bit tetchy. And according to the article in the Atlantic, he's terribly concerned about his weight, just not concerned enough to do anything about it. And he gets a happy when some publication actually publishes a photo of him that doesn't make him look, I don't know, like rancid hot dog water smells. Or as the article puts it, like look god awful like, and I do love this phrase. I don't know if Steve racist Bannon said this to Jennifer Senior, or if she just came up with it. If she just came up with it, she's good. Doesn't for once make him look god awful like some deranged incel by way of Maurice Sendak. I got to think that's probably Steve Bannon's own words. A deranged incel by way of Maurice Sendak. But this is the part that sort of spoke to me, because I can identify with this. He gets upset when people call his thing that he does a podcast. It's not a podcast, he says. It's a television show with an important visual aspect. Of course, the important visual aspect is why I don't do video with this program, at least not yet.
One of the reasons there's no video with this program is there's no real, I see no real, no real market for just watching me, having people watch me have my makeup slide off in the debilitating heat of 91 degrees in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. Jennifer Senior writing, he broadcasts from the ground floor of a Washington, D.C. townhouse, and there are cameras, bright lights, a backdrop that devoted viewers know well, a fireplace mantle displaying a gold-framed picture of Jesus H. Christ, I added the H. Christ, and a black and white poster saying there are no conspiracies, but there are no coincidences, Stephen K. Bannon. Well, in short, like so many video-fied, it's a view of the person doing the talking. Now, if you were, and by far the larger number is people who were not at the Horn Inn, and you are free to use radio as theater of the mind, and imagine me in any way you wish. I will add as a hint, today is not naked radio, even though it's 91 degrees in here. I try to have some decorum now. It's two-piece bathing suit radio. But just I've always preferred my mind to being force-fed through my eyeballs. So if you weren't at the Horn Inn, you are free to imagine me in any way that you prefer. You've got a little to work with if you were at the Horn Inn. So, you know, there's that. But I don't think that it significantly augmented the broadcast experience. Scott, being an old radio hand, probably can. I remember one of my radio heroes when I was very young. Oh, what a set of pipes he had! I mean, it sounded like he was broadcasting from beneath an overturned wheelbarrow. His voice was so deep. And then I finally saw him, and dude was so skinny he looked like he had to run around in the shower to get wet. I mean, if he stood sideways and stuck his tongue out and wore a pair of striped pajamas, you would have thought he was a zipper. Never got over that. But he's terribly racist. Bannon is concerned that. That people see him as a TV guy. Because I guess that's where the big dollars are, or maybe the people who are funding him, that's where, you know, that's what he uses to convince them to keep ponying up the bucks. Because as we've talked about before, on the right-wing side of things, well, Republicans and conservative and libertarian organizations will open their wallets and freely give. Yeah, for anybody who wants to talk about right-wing politics. And everybody who works on this side of the street is like, Jesus, I wish there were liberals like that. But instead, we basically are political buskers, and we open the accordion case. Maybe it's a mandolin. Maybe it's a ukulele case. It's very small. And you know, hope that people passing by as we play Flow Gently, Sweet the Afton, and toss a couple of singles in. I don't know. Maybe I'll start wearing a garter around my leg and tucking dollar bills in it or something. Never mind. Stop it. But we do have a challenge on the table. We're trying to raise $91. Thank you, Matt. And the funny thing is, you know, if you listen to this program, you know. Well, just like a few minutes ago, in the last hour, I said, oh, someday I'll have a producer, because once again, I'd pressed the wrong button and brought up the wrong audio, which was no audio. Never mind. but we have audio issues here, and sometimes the computer goes sideways, and sometimes the buttons don't button, and the audio's too low. Sometimes I press the right button, and nothing comes out. And it's because we operate on a shoestring. Well, Jennifer Senior writing about Steve Bannon, the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, wrote, "The whole operation has an amusing shoestring quality to it. The audio occasionally cuts out or sounds like it's bubbling through a fish tank." We haven't gotten to the bubbling through a fish tank yet, knock wood. "Two of Bannon's phones buzz throughout the show." Where, by the way, where is the stress line? I took it with me, and I'm glad I did, to the Horn Inn. And I was looking earlier, and I can't quite figure out where it went. So I'll be digging for that in the next day or so. But the audio occasionally cuts out or sounds like it's bubbling through a fish tank. Two of Bannon's phones buzz throughout the show. The segment openers aren't always ready when he needs them. It's a bit like Father Coughlin stumbled into Wayne and Garth's basement. Oh, cowbell for you, Jennifer Senior of The Atlantic. But I do love the fact that racist Bannon, who, you know, spent his time in the Trump White House walking around with a four-day stubble growth of beard and it just generally slovenly and always is concerned about his appearance. And please, let's never, ever forget a photo that did not for once make him look god-awful like some deranged incel by way of Maurice Sendak. Well, you know, newsflash to racist Bannon. It's not the photo that's making you look that way, Steve, honey. That's on you. Not saying, just saying. And I guess that COVID Caligula is going to go talk in Memphis? And Memphis Police Department has said, you know, we're really not all keen on providing security for him because look at these guys. They can learn. We've already figured out that he never pays his bills. Look at them figuring stuff out. Oh, and I don't know why he continues to get coverage, but cranky old man Bill Maher, who has lately been railing against people like me and children like the child I used to be. Well, he recently said that Republican campaign advertising shows that the American people are basically idiots. Well, based on the problem is based on what he has said, so too does his own show because of the garbage that he babbles about the LGBTQ community, the filth that he spews. You know, this is a guy who thinks that there's that transness is a trend because there are more trans kids in California than there are in Ohio. We're back to Ohio. When in fact there's just a climate of acceptance in California and there's a climate of toxic hatred in, well, Ohio. Seems kind of self-evident, but that might be too much. Oh, but it is Moran Monday, and it wouldn't be Moran Monday without Marginal Trailer Queen. But, well, you know, she alongside with Mark Robinson, apparently thinks more highly of an AR-15 than she does of the right of little children to grow up. But, of course, she's pro-life. Well, David Hogg, who survived the slaughter at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, is going to go to D.C. to meet with some legislators about trying to do something to keep children from being slaughtered trying to go to school. And David Hogg's visit to D.C. somehow triggered the cornpone snowflake, marginal trailer queen. And on Sunday, she tweeted that, I know David Hogg and his girls. She called David Hogg's male companions girls. You're going to once again try to manipulate some of my gutless, weak colleagues to vote for gun control that will violate our freedoms and leave Americans defenseless. Against whom? Well, against other Republicans, I guess. Who knows? And then she said, I don't see you on my schedule. Why not? David Hogg replied, and David Hogg, of course, has a... if you multiplied marginal trailer queen's IQ by, I don't know, Avogadro's number or something like that, or a Google or whatever, she still wouldn't be within rock throwing distance of David Hogg's intelligence. So he actually responded to her, and he said, well, I'm more interested in protecting children and meeting common sense people who are looking for reasonable solutions to stop children from dying. Don't really have time to help you go viral for attacking survivors so you can fundraise. Poor little thing is starved for attention. If you wanted to fix it, you'd discuss common sense solutions with me, someone who's also been on lockdown as a student when the only madman with a gun is another student who wants to kill people, not just bully my weak rhino colleagues. Now, that's when Fred Gutenberg stepped in. God, it's just a yard full of rakes with marginal trailer queen. And whack! Step whack! Fred Gutenberg said, well, I'm coming too. I'll bring pictures of my girl Jamie, who was murdered in Parkland. If you're looking for people to put on your schedule, please put me. Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. What day's best for you? And suddenly she dried up like a muddy hoof print in the West Texas heat. Not another word has been heard. I guess she thought she was going to call David Hogg repeat the ugly epithets that those vile monsters use. No, I don't. I don't. But it is nice to see how easily marginal trailer queens triggered. Interesting day for the Proud Boys and Enrique Tarrio. He got indicted today. The Justice Department announcing an indictment of Enrique Tarrio, formerly the head of the Proud Boys. He is charged with being part of an organized plot to unleash political violence to prevent the confirmation of President Biden's election victory on January 6, 2021, when a pro-Trump mob attacked the U.S. Capitol. Alongside, it's a 10-count superseding indictment charging Enrique Tarrio, Dominic Pozzola, and Ethan Nordine of Seattle, Joe Biggs of Daytona Beach, and Zachary Rell of Philadelphia, with coordinating travel to Washington, D.C., and coordinating the movements of the group around the Capitol on January 6th. And they were, according to the Washington Post, the superseding indictment adds two charges to the earlier indictment, one count of seditious conspiracy and one count of conspiracy to prevent an officer from discharging any duty. All defendants now face a total of 9 charges, and Pozzola faces an additional robbery charge. They're scheduled to appear for a hearing on June the 9th in D.C. And up to at least January 6th, the reason, you know, Tarrio was in fact the national chairman of that fascist gang of punks and bully boys and Sturmarbeitlung types. I'm looking forward to Thursday. I really am. Thursday is when the House January 6th committee public hearings kick off, and I have a feeling that's going to be must-see TV for, well, anyone who actually cares about the future of what democracy we have in this country. Starting with Liz Cheney, there are statements being made that, well, it's going to be intense, these hearings. Let me see here. Well, the promise is that there's probably going to be a video presentation. And that video presentation will show a split screen of Trump and what he was doing at exactly the same time the insurrection was taking place. I don't know how long it will go on Thursday, but if it's still going on by the time we come to air, we will certainly air that audio. Dr. Quest, going back to racist Bannon, Kevin in Massachusetts said, "I heard you mention racist Bannon and a Johnny Quest villain madman popped into my head. Sick him, bandit." Oh, there it is. One of the things being predicted for Thursday is that there will be disturbing new evidence being put forth. Representative David Cicilline said he's expecting that disturbing new evidence. Interviewed by CNN, he said that this is our democracy. This was the greatest assault on American democracy in my lifetime. The world is watching to see how we respond to this. He says they've taken testimony, the committee has, from more than 1,000 people. They've collected 135,000 documents. There will be, I think, he said, substantial evidence that really demonstrates the coordination and the planning and the effort, despite the fact that they understood that Donald Trump lost the election, and even once the insurrection began and the violence began, there were ongoing efforts to persuade the former president to stop the violence and call on folks to go home, and he refused to do it. I think the American people are going to learn facts about the planning and execution of this that will be very disturbing. So they're going to hold something on the order of half a dozen televised hearings. I think the one on Thursday, according to Stephen New York, tells me it's going to begin at 8 p.m., so we will have live coverage. They say that there will be previously unseen material. And it could be that aides to former Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek, whose staff was warned by the Secret Service that Donald Trump might try to kill him, his chief counsel, Greg Jacob, and former federal judge J. Michael Luddy will be interviewed. There may be testimony or information from former Pence chief of staff, Mark Short. So, yeah, get the popcorn out. Oh, and just trying to keep up with things. Because Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe under God. Story comes out of the Orlando, Florida area, because, of course, last month, don't know why it's only now coming out, but last month, and I don't know what we're going to do about these toddlers with guns, frankly. I remember the story from years ago where the toddler with a gun wasted his mama in Walmart the day after Christmas in Idaho. There are too many stories to count of kids getting hold of guns and going homicidal. But last month, Reggie Mabry was found wounded around noon on the 26th of May. Someone had dialed 911 over a shooting at the house. Deputies showed up and found Reggie Mabry down and bleeding. His 28-year-old wife, Marie Ayala, was doing CPR. He was DOA at the hospital. At the time, the deputies and the cops generally thought he'd committed suicide. But then they interviewed the couple's 5-year-old, who said that, his 2-year-old sibling had blown daddy away. They also had a 5-month-old in the home. The husband and the wife, by the way, were both on probation for child neglect and narcotics charges. With felony convictions, they weren't supposed to possess any firearms, but none of this makes any less tragic the fact that, well, they did have a goddamn gun, and the 2-year-old did find it in a bag where it had a round hot in the pipe. And Sheriff Mina said, I can't emphasize strongly enough that our guns need to be secure and kept out of the hands and away from children at all times, because them little youngins is deadly. Oh, I added that part. Gun owners that do not properly secure their firearms are just one split second away from one of these tragedies happening in their homes. And, of course, gun owners don't give a good goddamn, because guns are more important than 26-year-old bad daddies. Or good daddies, or good mommies. Sheriff Mina said, well, they've effectively lost, these 3 kids have effectively lost both of their parents. Their father's dead, their mother's in jail, and a young child has to live their life knowing he shot his father. These tragedies are 100% preventable. Well, no, not really, Sheriff. I mean, I know you have to say that to keep your job, but they aren't. At least they aren't until such time as we come to the realization that ain't everybody needs a gun. And, of course, neither parent was a member of a well-regulated militia, so there's that. These poor children are now in the custody of the Florida Department of Children and Families, where, it being Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis' state, God alone knows what will happen to them. I don't know, they may go to a re-education camp to make sure that they didn't absorb any critical race theory. Or maybe he'll want their genitals to examine so that he can find out if they're trans or not. Fucking Republicans. God almighty. But it was a very fire army weekend, really. Over the past 3 days of the weekend, it's the deadliest weekend in the U.S. so far this year. Of course, we're just now starting June, so we got June, July, August, September, October, November, and December. for a more deadly weekend, and I do not wish it to happen. I don't want it to happen. It grieves me that it might happen. But the fact that there may be a worse weekend is, well, Vegas wouldn't bet against that. Friday to Sunday, 47 people, I'm sorry, not 17. Oh, 17. I'm having a hard time reading with the sweat running down my eyes. Yeah, from Friday to Saturday, 17 people were killed. Philly, Chattanooga, Saginaw, Michigan, Omaha, Nebraska were just a few of the cities that saw outbreaks of well-regulated militia violence. The gun violence prevention group Brady, their president Chris Brown said, America's gun violence crisis was on full display this weekend, an emergency crying out for a solution that we know exists. Interestingly, this was the worst weekend this year for gun violence, but it's not like it took very long to break this year's record, because the previous record was May 13th to 15th, when 14 people were killed in mass shootings. Let's see, charges are coming for two people in Philadelphia who cut loose with multiple gunmen, cut loose after a shooting Saturday. Three people were dead in a crowded downtown entertainment district, South Street. I bet you Todd can tell us exactly where that is, or Clarence. One police officer saw a gunman firing into a large crowd. Of course, the officer didn't catch the shooter. It's not their job. Alexis Quinn, age 27, and Gregory Japan Jackson, 34, were both killed when the shooting started in the entertainment district. The third victim was Christopher Minners, age 22, identified by the American Federation of Teachers, Pennsylvania. Oh, wait. An ironically named police commissioner by the name of Danielle Outlaw said that when an officer saw one of the guy's gunmen shooting, that the officer shot back, and that's when the original shooter dropped their gun. There were five guns fired, two handguns recovered at the scene, one with an extended magazine. There were three 9mm firearms and a 40 caliber firearm, all involved. Another shooting at a nightclub Sunday morning, wee hours of Saturday night, that is, in Chattanooga, in Tennessee. Two people were killed. And then another person was killed when they were, when they tried to run away and were run over by a car. In Chattanooga, 14 people were hit by gunfire. Three were hit by cars. So that's a little bit, because, you know, anytime there's an argument made about gun violence in this country, some lawful gun owner, probably a member of the National Rubel Association, will say, well, you know, people die in car wrecks every year, and we ain't trying to ban automobiles. Early Sunday, that is late Saturday night, shooting in Saginaw, Michigan as well. Three people dead, two wounded. And I'm proud to live in America, where at least I know I'm free. Unless you're in the way of some bullets. In which case you'll be dead, yes siree, but I'd gladly stand up. No, get down, they're shooting, get down, duck! Don't worry. Nothing's going to happen. Hey, we're halfway into the program. We are trying to meet a $91 June 6th challenge, courtesy of Matt in San Francisco. It would be great if we could meet that, because, I mean, I'm not kidding. There are bills that have got to urgently be paid or terrible things happen, okay? So, you know, we've got, what did I say, you know, 580 to raise to be fully funded for the entire month of June so far. And if Matt's challenge was met, we would be down to 400, actually, 398. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy in Vermont, jumping in. Thank you so much. Well, at the halfway mark of the program, let's run over and check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Robin, how about a long-distance dedication to Todd, formerly of Philly, going back to 1963 by the Orlon South Street. Where do all the hippest meet? South Street, South Street. Where the dancing is elite? South Street, South Street. Side by side, we're loose and neat when we're stomping down the street. Hurry down, baby, she's the hippest street in town.
I love it, but, you know, that you're not, I'm not the only one who kills fundraising by singing. I'm just saying, Scott.
I've had a rough day. I got my second booster, so that's done.
Excellent. How are you feeling?
I feel fine. I mean, other than being tired from being out in the heat. I'll tell you, the only way to listen to this show is just how I'm listening now. I'm wearing my cut-off sweatpants, my T-shirt. I'm barefoot. The fan is blowing on me, and my recliner is all the way back.
Oh, you're in launch position. You're ready. You're ready for the moonshot.
I'm gonna have to sit up to have a conversation. I can't be on national radio laying back like I'm waiting for an exam. Wait a minute. Put my pillow back there. All right, this is all right. I can do it this way. But let's see. I paid my rent. I got my shot. Picked up a couple of things. What else did I do? I put the nuts out for the squirrels. I'm cooking with heavy grease.
You know, oddly enough, I had that Australian girl who lives in my phone just randomly playing music yesterday, and she played me a song called Hotter Than Fish Grease that I had never heard.
I like that. Who uses that expression? What are the callers?
That's Tracy.
Yeah. Hotter than fish.
That's a euphemism for being extremely angry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. But let's see, what was I? Two things, Robin, two things. Thing number one, a book that I got a couple of months ago, and I only just started it a couple of weeks ago. You remember Carl Bernstein of Woodward and Bernstein fame?
Mm-hmm.
He has written a book, which I heartily recommend, even though I'm only halfway through with it. Chasing History. And I especially like it because he's from my neck of the woods.
Northern Virginia, right?
Well, born in D.C., but was raised pretty much in Silver Spring, Maryland. And he's older than me by, I think, maybe 12 years or so, thereabouts, maybe a little more. Oh, it's like going back in a time machine, because there's a lot of local references, and he pretty much has spent his whole life there except some time in New York. And it's just, I'm hearing about places I haven't thought of in years, and the way Washington used to be a three-newspaper town back when places have, it wasn't unusual for a place to have a city of any size could have 2, 3, 4, up to a dozen newspapers. If you're in New York, you know, it's called Chasing History. Check it out. If you like to read, maybe it won't hit you the same way because you're not from D.C., but people who
I love how you said, if you like to read. Suddenly I flashed on Bill Hicks talking about reading a book in a Waffle House in Nashville after a gig, and the server comes up and says, what you reading for?
Yeah. Well, not everybody likes to read. Some people don't have the time. I don't know. So there's that. But the other OOO has to do with something that's on, was on CNN the other night. Watergate, Blueprint for a Scandal. Four-part series. The first two parts were on yesterday, Sunday, and the last two are going to be coming up on Sunday. And I'm telling you, even though I know the story by heart of the Watergate scandal, it lays it out in such a way with references kind of snuck in there, all sneaky-like, about January 6th and Trump and people of that mindset. Totally demented is what I mean. And unlawful to beat the band. Watergate, Blueprint for a Scandal. Definitely check that out, people. Check that one out.
Probably available to stream on the CNN website, right?
I would think so, yeah. I guess if you're a CNN subscriber. See, they get you there, some of these channels. Unless you subscribe to the channel, you can't see the shows. Oh, I was going to ask you, what with the remote horn-in party last week, has someone fiddled with your knobs?
Really, Scott? Really?
No, your controls, your settings.
No, why?
Because
the horn-in audio was different because I was using a different computer. In a great big room, and a different microphone.
No, it's as if there's too much compression, is what I'm saying today, and I've never noticed that before.
No, you know what? Wait a minute. Let's do something here.
Okay, will it hurt? I've had my.
Okay, no, that's today. That's right. Everything is right there. No, that won't go up anymore.
No, it's not horrible. I'm just
checking to. No, all the settings are correct. It could be the fact that I was using a different microphone for the horn in, and now I'm back to using the microphone that the setting is actually for, and it might be that there's more compression on it.
And I don't hear the still.
Oh, the still. We're working up a new batch.
Ooh.
No, the fact of the matter is, it's a project. It's a project in progress. I turned off the breaker to the water heater, and then we drained the water heater. And now I'm about to change the pressure relief valve on the water heater.
Look at you being all handy and all.
Well, I get my little Rosie the Riveter bandana and put it on my head, and my little blue chambray blouse, and away we go.
And you always got to go back to the shop because you didn't bring the right tool.
Oh, you know, if I had any brains, I don't know if Steve from Georgia stands listening. If I had any brains, I'd call the guy, but I don't have a guy to call.
Oh, you got to have a guy.
Well, I don't have a guy to call and or the money to pay the guy with, so just gotta hope I don't blow the house up.
Oh, God, no, don't even say that in jest. My Lord.
So, yeah.
Now, when was grandbaby born?
Grandbaby was born this morning at 12:28.
I'll bet you everybody's happy.
Oh, well, Mama is exhausted, but yes.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I am so happy. Because we need new babies in the world.
It's a beauty. I mean, oh, her little face. Her little face. Just angelic. And see, when I fell asleep completely exhausted last night, because, you know, I loaded out from the Horn Inn and got all of that dealt with, and then spent the afternoon over in Beckley because we thought that Lily was going to arrive on the 5th, but she didn't want a 5th. She wanted a 6th. And then I came home, and as I fell asleep, thinking about her. And so I dreamed of her all night. And I, you know how you go to sleep, but you don't go all the way to sleep?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was sort of in that twilight state to make sure that when if the phone rang, I wouldn't be asleep. And so I woke up more exhausted than when I went to bed.
Yeah, that's the only downside to that twilight sleep. Well, you know, the look, people for centuries have confused the look on babies' faces with innocence, but it's not innocence at all. It's absolute wisdom. And from here on in, unfortunately, if she's like most other babies, she's going to unlearn all the stuff that she was pre-packed with.
Well, yeah, I mean, one wonders from a spiritual perspective if, you know, babies entering the world, do they know everything? And it's just because they can't talk that, I don't know.
Well, they know nothing. It's like an essential element built into them, where they've got it down so on some cosmic level that we don't really understand. They've got it down so that knowing it is not necessary in the sense that we know about knowing. I don't mean to get all cosmic on a Monday for crying out loud, but I just, as you were describing the, you know, her face and her dimple and the happiness that she brought along with her with plenty to go around, I thought about innocence, and I said, no, it's not innocence at all. It's something that goes beyond innocence. We use innocence to explain the nature of babies, but just because that's the way we explain it, don't make it so. You get what I mean?
I do.
I don't mean to get all cosmic, but that is...
Well, but you do cosmic so well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. There's something else I was going to tell you about. And I've spaced it. I did not sleep well last night. I did my recliner sleep, which is the worst kind of sleep in the world.
Oh, and you can't. Can't do that.
No, it's like sleeping in a straitjacket. And how many times have we done that? He said knowingly. And it's good that she was born in June because she's a Gemini. That is my sign. And I recommend being a Gemini to everybody who wants an adventure. Speaking of 10 more days, and I'll be having my buff day. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
You know how you have to show your ID when you get your booster?
Yeah.
She said, oh, well, happy birthday a few days early. And I said, well, thank you a few days early. And she said, how are you going to celebrate? I said, the very fact that I'm upright and above ground is celebration enough for me.
Well, or I'm going to celebrate by hopefully being continually immune to this godforsaken virus.
Yeah, well, that too, yeah. Or avoiding it at all cost. But I don't know what prevented me from going in to get it done, because I looked at my card and I got my first booster, I think it was February. I don't have the card right in front of me. But just laziness, I guess, or procrastination or something. Now, my big project for the remainder of this month, because they're going to start in-person inspections again in July for the housing program that I'm in. And I don't know if this will come as a shock to you, Robin, but I am not much of a housekeeper. I've been in a funk because of this fucking, well, this is the excuse I'm using. I've been in a funk since this damn pandemic happened. And you lose energy, you lose your focus.
Oh, yeah.
And you just can't get a handle on things. I mean, I'm okay in terms of my emotions and my well-being on that level. But when it comes to doing the ordinary mundane things, I've just let it go. So I've got until the end of the month, maybe a little bit into July, because I want to pass inspection. I truly, truly do. So if you don't hear from me for a while, it's because I can't find the phone. So,
oh, no.
Yeah, I know it's not in the freezer because that's where I put my laundry. Okay.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah. No, I do that when I can't find something. You know, eventually when you don't find it in all the places you expect to find it.
You actually do look in the freezer.
Oh, you start looking in the absolutely insane places. Because, you know, maybe I went insane for a little bit, and I'm better now.
Yeah.
Where's my other shoe?
And don't try to take a bath, because that's where I have all the rice.
Well, of course you do. I don't want to know where the beans are.
No beans in the house. We keep the beans in a bin. It's the bean bin out back. The bean bin out back's got beans.
Bean bin out back, been there for years.
Been there for years, and we couldn't think of a bean that starts with B, except for the word bean.
So butter bean. It's a butter bean bin.
Oh, butter beans. No, but I don't like butter beans. They give me gas.
You mean there are beans that don't?
There are some that...
Jesus Christ, this is turning into Bob and Ray. Or Raylene. I refuse to be Bob.
Ollie Baloo. Yes. Well, you know what I like, and this is the wrong time of year for it. It was a 15 bean soup, the hams.
Oh, God, I love that stuff.
Oh, God damn, that is just, I and with bread, like French bread or sourdough with real butter on it, and oh, my Lord, my toes are curling. And I've dropped my spoon. My Lord, what am I going to do? I can't eat it without a spoon. Soup you can't do by the handful. But you can do it once. And it just, if you just had your nails done, which I haven't, but if you have.
But I have, and they're gorgeous.
Don't pick up a handful of bean soup, especially if it's hot.
I can imagine, yes. Good. A word to the wise is sufficient.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Ron and Raleigh just said, you know, babies come preloaded with bloatware, just like a Windows computer from the factory. You'll have to unload all that stuff and install just the programs you want.
Bloatware. I haven't heard that expression for a while.
And by the way, you know, we did discuss this, it won't work out because he'll be in law school by next year and living up in Salem, Oregon. But, you know, You and Tamara really should have hitched, because Tamara is the one who brought up the idea of putting together a road trip. You and Tamara really should have hitched a ride with David. I don't know why I didn't think about that, but you would have had a merry cross country trip. And in fact, David is headed home today, even as we speak, probably.
Now, where's David going to law school?
He's going to law school at Willamette.
In Oregon?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, all means. Oh, and I voted. I mailed in my ballot. That's the other thing.
Oh, yeah, because you got a primary coming up.
Yeah, tomorrow.
And I guess was yesterday the anniversary of the assassination of Bobby Kennedy?
Well, it was a two-day affair because, yeah, it shot on June 5th, died on the 6th. I'll never forget where I was that day. They let me take my transistor radio to school. I was in eighth grade.
You had a transistor?
Yeah. Don't start with me.
Sorry.
I had none. I had none, and some weren't born that way, and we called them transistors. But anyway, I'm sorry. I set that one up.
I would have been really, really disappointed if you hadn't followed.
That one was so bad. I would put the cowbell in the other room for an hour.
Well, that's, you know, I've got a friend out the road, and they've got a little man-made lake, and I like to go out there. I like to go out there for a swim, Scott. Somebody observed one day that I am officially now a transponder.
Ah.
Wait, nothing?
I like it. I
transponder?
I
go swimming in the pond. I'm a transponder. God, when you have to explain them.
I know. I like it. I like it. You didn't have to explain it.
First there was man neck depression. Now we got transponder.
What channels do you bring in?
Only the ones that you don't have to pay extra for. Unfortunately, that means there's a lot of Christian broadcasting, shopping, and Fox.
And fucking jewelry channels. I'm amazed these women can walk if they buy all that jewelry. And some of it is just the cheapest looking stuff.
Well, some of us have to have cheap jewelry. Well, never. I mean, it's like Dolly Parton said when someone criticized her wardrobe, she said, and her look, she said, it costs a lot to look this cheap.
Yeah, but Dolly can pull it off.
Oh, I've been awarded a Gunner by Steve in New York for transponder. I probably deserve that.
Now, I don't mean to be, you know, judgmental here. But I've bought a total of one thing from a shopping channel in my life.
Yes?
I cannot watch shopping channels because they give me the willies. There's just something about that artificial upbeat of, oh, and this next thing.
Oh, wait, wait, stop.
All right,
stop.
All right.
By the way, Steve in New York says, I'm not nearly as ancient as Scott. However, I did have a liquid crystal radio as a kid.
A liquid crystal radio?
A liquid crystal radio, yeah. And did you also have Estes rockets, Steve? But no, this is important. This is via Todd, which... Todd said, do you still like the trans fats? Well, in point of fact, Todd... when I walk into the pool room around here, that's my hustling name, Trans Fats. West Virginia Trans Fats, as a matter of fact.
West Virginia Trans Fats. I like it.
I'm working here.
Speaking of, I gotta
ask you. You know, I mentioned last week or maybe the week before. And yes, Steve did have Estes rockets. You know, put your eye out, kid. Those things were so cool.
Like rockets. What do you call them?
You built the rocket and you put the solid. And you never found it again. Or you had to go all over the neighborhood because you know you immediately learned the old. The Wernher von Braun joke, you know, it's a rocket goes up, who cares where it comes down? It's not my concern, says Wernher von Braun.
Yeah.
Okay. Steve says, trans fats, you've redeemed yourself. A hearty cowbell. Okay. Thank you.
Have you ever.
No, but thank you, Todd. You started that one. That's you.
Have you ever used a water propelled rocket?
Oh, yes, I was allowed to have those.
Oh, that's the one that I had.
I probably wasn't going to. I mean, there was a general consensus among both my parents that I probably couldn't hurt myself too much. I might get a little wet, but, yeah, nothing worse than that. And
this thing
came back down in the backyard.
It was
until it didn't.
I've never seen them. The one I had was red and green, see-through plastic.
Yeah,
red
mine too.
With white fins. And it was maybe 8 inches high, something like that, 6 or 8 inches high. And what it was you would fill it with water, and then you would attach it to a hand-operated
pump. And you would pump it up and build the pressure until you couldn't pump anymore.
Voopa, 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 voopa. All right, and then what would you do?
You'd punch the release.
You sure as hell would, and that thing would take off like a herd of...
Now, the other thing that I absolutely loved, there were these little toy submarines.
Oh, yes.
And they came with some sort of little thing that reacted with water and generated carbon dioxide and propelled the little submarine. Oh, and it would dive and surface and things. The problem was, it came with a certain number of the little pellets, and then the little pellets were, you could never find them.
No, that's where you use Grandma's Polident tablets.
Well, I used Alka-Seltzer. I was getting around to that.
Alka-Seltzer would work.
Yeah. All the Submariner's hangovers were cured.
I can't believe I ate the whole thing. You ate it, Ralph. You ate it. Well, I am flakier than pie crust today, and I hope that this has not upset the Horn family too much. Because there are certain members of the Horn family.
Oh, wait. You'll appreciate this.
Okay.
This is from Lee in New York. This is I mean, you can almost smell the forest of the Catskills when you hear this joke. A man goes to the deli for lunch. He orders the chicken soup. After the waiter brings the soup, the customer calls the waiter back. Waiter, try the soup. Sir, I'm not allowed. It is your soup. Just try the soup. All right, sir. Where's the spoon? Aha! Oh, I love that, Lee. And you gave me a chance to haul out my terrible impression. So, you know, winning.
Shecky. I love that name.
Yeah, Shecky Kincaid, right.
Is Shecky Green still upright and above ground?
I'm guessing that's a no.
No, I
maybe. I mean, you know, look how long Jackie Mason lasted.
I didn't like him. He was too preachy. He was funny as hell, but he was too preachy in spots.
I never knew he had spots.
Yes, he sure did.
God, you know, we're going to have to spin off a second radio show, Scott.
I don't think the world's ready for anything like that.
Really, Bob and Raylene.
Well, I'd have to get a bell.
Got one.
No, but I got it. We do the battling bells, don't you know?
That's true. That's true. That's true. Yeah, absolutely.
You can't do the same show that you're already doing. You got a little verve and panache and stuff.
Quit talking about my panache.
Hey, wait a minute. Leave my panache out of it. Is that your panache? Yeah. Take it out of the cellophane before it scorches. Or cellophane. Never mind. This is what I get. I've literally been up, oh, God, for about 24 hours. I'm at that time of life or time of year. I go through these phases where
that time of year thou mayst in me behold. Yeah, Shakespeare.
Da-do-ron-ron-ron, da-do-ron-ron. I like that. But I just, sometimes it's so hot I can't sleep. And
I understand that.
And I'm watching stuff on the television, but not the shopping channels. Now, what do you think the one thing I bought from a shopping channel was? And I still have it.
Non-electric razor. Nightlight?
No.
Electric spoon?
Oh, no.
Popeil's Pocket Fisherman.
No, no, I have the Pocket Fisherman. I order the Pocket Fish. Cast your fish upon pockets. Now, do you remember the infomercial by a guy wearing a suit with a lot of question marks, and he was kind of manic?
Yes.
And he had big glasses?
Yes.
Matthew Lesko's.
Mm-hmm.
Getting Shit from the Government?
Yes. Free, oh, you ordered his book.
And actually, I got a little bit of free shit. Not shit yet, but I forget now even what it was. But it was something that I got and benefited from it. The great, I forget what the name was, something like
that. But not enough to remember, didn't benefit enough to remember it.
No, I'm trying to think what it was, because it's got to be at least 20, oh, it was before I moved out here, so it's way over 20 years. It was when I was still in Northern Kentucky.
Jesus, Shecky Green's still alive.
Oh, is he? How old is he now?
Fred Sheldon Greenfield, born April 8th, 1926.
Okay, the same year.
So he is 96?
Yeah. And I don't know if I mentioned this or whether I just posted it online or whether it was on a replay. It was at some point in the proceedings. June 1st was the exact birth date, month, day, and year of my mom and Marilyn Monroe.
Well, I didn't know Marilyn's birthday was June 1st.
Yeah. Same year, too, 1926. And I think Andy Griffith's birthday is June 1st, but I don't think that was the same year. It might have been, because he was up there when he left. You know whose birthday I share?
Who?
Month and date. Catherine Graham.
I'll be damned.
And if I'm going to share a birthday with anybody, I want for it to be somebody I respect and admired. And I sure did respect and admire that woman. Can you imagine going up against Nixon and having your newspaper business and your radio business and your television business be threatened by that fucker?
Oh.
And those mothers were playing for keeps. It wasn't enough to disagree with someone that you disagreed with. You had to destroy them. And I mean destroy with a capital D. And that rhymes with T, and that stands for putts. Right here in River City. But, I mean, watching that thing about Watergate last night, those 2 hours of Watergate stuff, really brought it back. And it was laid out in such a way that even though I remember it and can quote a chapter and verse, something about revisiting it now, literally 50 years later, through the prism of Trump and January 6th and all of that happy madness, it adds more of a chill to the chilling effect, at least for me, because I'm of a certain era that, you know, it's right up my street.
Yes.
Are we on delay?
No. What is it? Tell Katie Graham she's going to get her tit in a ringer.
Yes. You know who said that was John Mitchell.
Oh, was that? Yeah, that was John Mitchell. Yeah.
But that's the other show.
Tell Katie Graham she's going to get her tit in a ringer.
That's the other show, Robin. Gaslit.
Oh, I love it.
Watching this?
I got some catching up to do.
Oh, I'm telling you, strap in, because last night I almost had to turn it off. And I'll give you this minuscule hint. Gordon Liddy alone in a jail cell. Well, not totally alone. Little thing with whiskers crawling around in the dark.
Oh, I thought that was Liddy.
Well, by the way, I should be clearer. With a long tail.
You're still not disambiguating Gordon Liddy.
On a Chinese placemat in a restaurant, Chinese restaurant, you have the year of the...
Liddy?
No. I'm going to poke you with a chopstick if you don't get the next one right. I'm gonna slather you in duck sauce and make you cry. That hot Chinese mustard. I'm going to put some behind each ear, and we'll see who's who.
I love that stuff.
Oh, I do, too.
Oh, and that was one of the lovely things for the Friday dinner. I asked my friend Ging to make us some sweet and sour grilled tofu with, you know, like green peppers and onions and carrots and pineapple and some of her homemade vegetarian spring rolls. And the spring roll was also good. And her spring rolls are just to die for. Oh, they're better than any standard Chinese restaurant egg roll by a long shot.
Explain to me, if you will, tofu. What is? I mean, I know what tofu is, but if I were to take a big spoonful of it and start chawing on it, what would the impact and effect be?
Well, it tastes like precisely nothing.
Like an eraser, a gum eraser.
No, a gum eraser has more flavor than tofu.
Oh, my God, I can't imagine anything's got less flavor than a gum eraser.
No, I mean, that's what's nice about tofu is it takes on the flavor and characteristics of whatever you're cooking with it or cooking it with. So it picked up the beautiful flavors of Ging's homemade sweet and sour sauce.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, I mean, if you use the extra firm tofu, you can make awe-inspiring chili.
See, I knew it was tasteless
because it'll kind of grind, if you do it right, it kind of grinds up like chili does.
Anyway, I say I knew it was tasteless, so it's sort of the Steve Bannon of the food world.
That's a hell of a knock on tofu. I mean,
I'm sorry, it's Monday. I'll do better by midweek.
Oh, by the way, Tom and Sonny San Rafael says, for Scott, speaking of birthdays, my dear departed mother shared the same birthday, day, month, and year with one of Scott's heroes, the inimitable Tom Lehrer.
And, oh, what, April 9th, I think.
And you would not, yep. And Tom adds, I love the Bob and Raylene show. Oh, and additionally, June 1st, Andy Griffith and Marilyn Monroe born on that day. Yeah. 1926.
And my mom.
And Scott's mama.
And we didn't...
Don't say nothing about mama.
Well, I'm going to.
Steve in New York wants you to know, if Scott has Mrs. Graham's bio, he should look at the first page of the intro. The person who wrote the book was a woman from Greenville, Ohio, my dad's in my hometown, named Evelyn Small. Mrs. Graham thanks Evelyn for helping her. Evelyn was the ghostwriter for Mrs. Graham's book. In fact, my dad dated her in high school. I connected with her in D.C. when I lived there, and she took me into the Washington Post newsroom. She showed me Ben Bradley's office, and we stood right by Woodward and Bernstein's desks.
Holy fuck.
And Randy Radar wants you to know, tofu is high in protein and magnesium. Yeah, it's not just an empty calorie. No, it's a great protein replacement, especially if you don't eat meat.
But I eat meat. Not much, but I eat it from time to time.
I get that.
I'm gonna do some research, because I watched that thing on CNN the other night, the documentary film about Julia Child.
Yeah.
You talk about getting hungry. Watching her cook and what joy she got out of cooking and showing people, like introducing them to French food. Which I've never had much of, but I have had a little bit over the years, not lately. But I couldn't eat it now because it's so rich. And I don't know why those people aren't dropping dead by the dozens from heart issues. Is it the red wine, or is it the laid-back attitude, or the haughtiness?
The haughtiness.
No, never ask a Frenchman a question. And certainly don't do it unless you're speaking French. They have attitude. Hello, dude. We have attitude. 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 Okay, no, that's right.
Well, and Tamara just said, I need to introduce you and Scott to the delights and subtle flavors of good tofus. Oh, I'm not saying I dislike it. I just, okay, subtle flavors. I'm down with that.
And it's made from soy, isn't it?
Yes, it is soybean curd.
Yeah. This portion of Cooking with Robin and Scott is brought to you by Scuff No More, the miracle plastic product you spray on your children before they go out to play.
It's a dessert topping. It's a floor wax. Hey, Scott, I'm going to roll along because I've seen a couple of numbers come across during our conversation. I want to make sure, this being, you know, the first time back in the studio in a few days, that folks get in. So if you don't mind, I will leave you to go and fix your evening Java or your afternoon Java.
No Java for me. I've had can't you tell? I've had enough. But thank you for indulging me, Horn.
That's enough. That's enough for you. You've had, yeah, Scott. I think you've had enough. Get away. Step back from the espresso machine.
Don't make us use it. All right. Good night, Robin. Good night, Horn family, and I will be listening for whatever's next.
All right. You take care, Scott. It's always good to hear from you, my friend. And next year in Fayetteville, okay?
You know, I'm going to aim for that. I think that's a good plan.
I think it would be wonderful to have you. All right, Scott, you take care.
See ya.
Bye now. And, okay, first in line is Todd. Hey, Todd.
Wow, you guys had a good time. I'm sorry. Let me start over. Good evening.
Yes, Mr. Hitchcock.
Yeah, I forget we got a lot of young people on here. So, you and Scott, man, that was a great conversation.
Well, I mean, Bob, I think Bob and Raylene has real potential.
Might have legs. I don't know what they might look like, but it's got legs.
Oh, that's the best part. I got legs. A little thick in the ankles, but you know, working on it.
But, you know, God, you guys touched on so much. You know, Gaslit, I'm sucked up on that. That's good as shit.
Oh, yeah, it is.
There's some good TV out here now.
I am absolutely, because, you know, not everybody's a science fiction nerd like I am, and Ron and Raleigh is, and a few others. I'm absolutely loving Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
I hadn't seen that yet.
Oh, you've got a treat, because I think there's, what, maybe four episodes for you now? You can binge?
Who's carrying that?
It's on Paramount.
Okay, I can get that, I suppose.
And the other thing on Paramount that you simply must watch, because it's almost done, I think, is The Offer. About
The Offer?
Yeah, The Making of The Godfather.
Mmm. Oh, I saw the advertisement for that.
So good.
Are they going to poke me with a chopstick if I watch it?
I hope not, but, you know, I won't.
I thought it was funny when Scott said that. I'm
going to poke you with a chopstick.
That was kind of violent for Scott, I'll be honest.
You're right. That's about the most violent Scott's ever gotten. That's what happens when he gets too deep into the coffee too early, when he stays up all night.
He was feeling good. Scott's feeling good today. He's all relaxed in his chair. I could see it. That's all right. That's all right. But, man. Well, I just don't know. Like, if you have to explain to me some things here.
Okay.
All right. So, apparently, we have a senator from Louisiana named Louis Gomer.
No, he's a congressman from Texas.
I'm sorry. I'm totally wrong on that part. All those parts. Thank you.
You talking about Louis Asparagus Gomer?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, he is from Texas, isn't he?
The very first district of Texas. Or at least it used to be. I don't know if it still is after 2020's redistricting, but it used to be the first congressional district. I'm sure they protected his seat.
You know what? Maybe I said Louisiana because I'm thinking about food now.
Or maybe you're thinking about Senator Jubilation T. Cornpone from Louisiana. John Kennedy.
Well, actually, I am thinking about Gomer, but because of what he said. But back to the tofu before I forget.
Okay.
You know, no, because I have to say this. Once I get really, you know, my crowd, we always like tofu anyway. But
I like tofu. I don't want to be misunderstood as gooning on tofu. I'm not.
I'm not saying you are. And all I'm saying is that you have to understand how to cook it. And that's, you did a very good job of explaining. I think you did a very good job of explaining what it is and how to cook it. And it takes, you know, you want to, you know, there's different ways. Like, in other words, most people who are foodies, we like blackened catfish, blackened this, blackened that. You can blacken tofu.
Sure you can. And, I love to take the extra firm and cut it in slices and grill it.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. You can slice it like a flank steak and just grill it. And this is what I'm getting to. Like, you were in Chinatown in Philly. Like, it's small.
How far was I from South Street?
A little bit of ways. Not that far. But I'll get, I'm sorry, you had to bring that up.
You had to bring that up. I love it when I get told that.
Well, it's true. But the tofu, like in Chinatown, because you get ripped off in the supermarket, you can go to Chinatown and get a big-ass brick, and they will put it in the bag for you with the water. And you can take it home and portion it out, and it's so much cheaper. And because really,
and better? Is it better quality?
Oh, it's better quality. It's nice and firm. It's fresh. You know, it's just, and then while you're there, you know, it's a Chinese store. You know, you can get good vegetables, or maybe some fresh fish from the tank. You know, point to the fish you want, and they beat it in the head. And
take it out and kill it, yeah. Right in front of you.
Yeah, they do. They got a stump right
Darren
there.
McGavin, Darren McGavin on Thanksgiving. It's smiling at us, talking about the goose, yeah. And smiling. Whack!
It's true. It's like that. Yeah, I like him. I want him. He looks fat. Okay. What? It's like, oh, did that hurt? Probably. But man, you get that tofu home and you hook it up. I mean, I'm not kidding. It is. You don't even know it's not meat. I mean, it's good to switch up. You got to clean out your inside.
Tofu scramblers. You know, make scrambled eggs of it. Yeah.
Ooh. I mean it. But yeah. So South Street, that area at Clarendon, you know, anybody who's listening, I'm not making this up. I guess that's the closest thing that akin to what would be like the village in the city. It's kind of like that.
It's all bougie and hipster?
That's exactly what it is. And remember, and it right, see, it abuts. It goes from real poor, like on either side, and then there's really wealthy, and then at the bottom of the street, which is called Head House Square by the river. That's very wealthy. You got Society Hill Towers down there. It's a whole lot going on down there. I mean, there's just all manner of, high-end drug dealers and just everything. I mean, not on the street. They live in the building because that's high-end real estate. But what I'm saying is that area is congested. I mean, that's the place. That's like on every night, but on weekends, it's packed. Like they don't, you can't even loiter. You have to keep moving. Your vehicle can't stop. You have to keep moving. You know, like on the Strip of Miami, you got to keep moving. And any kind of gunfire, you're going to hit somebody. And the TLA, Theater for Living Arts. I'm like, my goodness, people. I've been there. I can't tell you how many times. I've seen Sizzla Kalungi there, Neil Young, all kinds of people. I mean, everybody plays the TLA. Everybody wants to play the TLA. It's Curly was born down here from the Three Stooges.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and Larry, they were all, yeah. I think
all those fine were all those fines from down there, or no? I mean, all those all those Howards and that fine.
Yep. There's a plaque down there. Mm-hmm. So South Street runs from Broad. Well, yeah, from Broad all the way down to the river, and that's just, I don't know what's going to become of us. But I guess by another 2 years, only be 10 Americans left who would have shot ourselves to death.
I hate that you're not wrong.
I mean, seriously, like, I'm going to have to do some investigating. Like is it being reported more or is it just happening more? Because at this rate, it ain't going to be nobody left.
Oh, no. You're not kidding.
It's messed up. But, my real question here about Louis Gomer from...
Yeah, oh, back to Louis. Yeah, we were talking about Louis. Ah, Louis, you're begging for a pink slip.
Yeah, this is a serious business. Now, he actually said out loud that that he's upset because Republicans can't lie to Congress and the FBI?
Help me here.
Oh, you missed. Okay. Well.
Still catching up a little bit.
I understand that. And that's why I wasn't sure. That's why I brought it up. This is like shocking. He actually said out loud, it's appalling that the GOP cannot lie to Congress and the FBI. He actually said that. So anybody can just Google it right now. Google. You can see it. And remember, you know what's interesting about Gomer is that from my research, you know, he spent some time in Russia as a student doing some research.
Wonder if they turned
way back. And see, now it's making me think, you know, now that we know this is not like science fiction stuff, we don't know how many of these people are inserted in our government. We really don't. And the fact that we have so many people who are just like very lackadaisical about January 6th, like, well, what do you expect them to do? They were upset. Like, what?
I'm Googling furiously.
Mm-hmm.
And let's hit that and then hit news.
It's going to come up.
Let's see. Louis Gohmert is leaving Congress. His replacement won't be any better.
Well, this was in the Hill a couple days ago. It was all over, actually. But the fact that he feels that way.
Well, I do know he had a meltdown at a gun bill hearing. That's gonna be fun.
When folks see that, let me see if I can. Oh, geez. Let me see. I happen to have a computer on for once. GOMERT and my Congress. I don't know. Do Boolean searches still work?
Yeah, Jesus. Did you find it?
There it is. Yep. News about Gohmert lies to Congress. Okay. This House Republican says you can't even lie to Congress if you're a Republican. This is from CNN.
Oh, wait. You can't even?
The House Republicans say you can't even lie to Congress if you're a Republican. Texas Representative Louis Gohmert was trying to make a point that scales of justice. Anyway.
Oh, there. Okay, thank you. Ralph's just sent this along, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. The Hill story. Gohmert, if you're a Republican, you can't even lie to Congress or lie to an FBI agent or they're coming after you. You know what's the most...
The fuck is that shit?
Well, okay, that's another way of putting it. What's the most hilarious part of that... is that this dude used to sit on the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals. He railed against the indictment of former Trump White House advisor Peter Navarro, saying this past Friday, if you're a Republican, you can't even lie to Congress or lie to an FBI agent or they're coming after you.
They're coming for you.
It actually puts an exclamation point. I'm sure he said explanation point and they fixed it for him. It actually puts an exclamation point on the fact that we have a two-tiered justice system. If you're a Republican, you can't even lie to Congress or lie to an FBI agent and they're coming after you. They're going to bury you. They're going to put you in the D.C. jail and terrorize and torture you and not live up to the Constitution there. So it's very clear, if you're a Democrat, then you can lie, you can cheat, you can do whatever you want. And he's citing whom? Oh, right, the lying, cheating Democrat who lives in his brain and is entirely otherwise imaginary.
Well, you know, that's why you can't cast aspersions upon his vegetables.
Yeah, it's asparagus, right. And see, this all happened because Peter Navarro, upon being indicted and arrested, and to a certain extent perp walked, they came and they got me when I was getting on the plane. That's what Navarro said. Who are these people? This is not America. I mean, I was a distinguished public servant for 4 years, and nobody ever questioned my ethics, and they're treating me in this fashion. Oh, poor baby.
Well, I have a question.
Go ahead. I don't know if I got an answer, but I'll do my darndest.
Well, because you're going down the road that I forgot about, maybe. All these other things are bouncing around. But this Navarro character, I find him very turd.
Oh, he's a turd.
All right.
I was a distinguished public servant for 4 years. No, you were a member of the goddamn Maggot administration. There was nothing distinguished in that.
Not a goddamn thing.
If you wanted to remain a distinguished economist, you would have said no when they offered you the job, but he couldn't resist the opportunity to get both his front and back trotters in the trough.
Rob Popeil would have been more distinguished selling fish guts to a sterile laboratory.
What's his face? The guy with the watermelons, the sledge-o-matic.
I mean, this mug, seriously, like I've been studying him now because I found him to be so preposterous. I was just tuning him out. But then I started to like turn the volume off and look at him. If you notice, he's like Trump. He's a salesman. He always has to speak with his hands. Look at what he gives his body language type dude because he knows he's lying. He's always moving his hands around.
Yeah. And, you know, he also knows he's lying because he's moving his lips. Thanks for the setup there.
And I hate to say it, but he is small in stature. That's how he's...
Little Napoleon complex going on, is that what you're saying?
What the fuck is wrong with him? I mean, why is he so outraged? He fucking broke the law. Why are you outraged? Shut the fuck up and just get arrested, post your bail, and go home like everybody else. Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up, Petey.
I mean, these people have lost. This is like white. This is privilege just gone amok, man. What is wrong with these people? They keep bringing up Black Lives Matter and January 6th. They're not congruent at all.
Not for them. Huh.
I mean, if you have to explain that, then you've already lost. We already lost because they don't get it. Well, this is why we have good food, so that we can just not think about this stuff sometimes. I guess. Navarro, my God, I can't wait. And C-SPAN is going to have, you don't have to buy it. They're going to take the whole thing. So, it'll be there. This is some crazy stuff.
Well, you know, Matt in San Francisco with a good observation here said, when you're an elite, accountability feels like oppression.
Well, exactly, man.
There we go.
Because if you read between the lines, I'm really studying him. What he's saying, you trying to treat me like some nigga. That's what he was saying. When he pulled me off, I'm trying to get on the
No, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, okay, let me translate that a little less. What do you think, I'm black?
Right. He all but said it. Like, you treat me like I'm some common criminal. Well, if you got nothing to hide, then show up and answer some questions and just plead the fifth, get your lawyer, and move on. We have a real problem. We have these erudite folks. I'm not going to mention the ethnicity, and because of their, their perceived stature, you got middle America just follows them to their death, and it's unfortunate. But I guess that's where we're going. That's where we are, actually.
Well, I'm afraid, yeah.
You know, brown people, black people, I guess we just have to shut up now and just let everybody,
Well, look, let's make the list ever so much more easy to comprehend, Todd. If you are not white, cis, hetero, and male, sit down and shut the fuck up.
Yep.
That's the source of 100% of the Republican angst in this country. You know, meanwhile, are you familiar with this organization, TPUSA? Right wing,
no.
You know, Turning Point USA? Well, they're gross. No. And they had a young women's leadership summit this past weekend. And God, are they gross. I mean, this was just disgusting. Remember, Young Women's Leadership Summit, Turning Point USA, Republicans. They had this dude bro on by the name of Benny Johnson. And the way they billed it was that they were going to have first-class activism and leadership training for cute servatives. Cute servatives.
What the hell is that?
Well, TPUSA was founded by Charlie Kirk. And it sort of birthed Candy Owens. You remember Candy?
Oh, Candace, that little nasty woman. Yeah.
Yeah, the young black woman who said Hitler was pretty cool, and he would have been awesome if he would have just kept his nationalism inside German borders. Her. Well, anyway. The purpose of this conference was apparently to try to, I don't know, mind fuck young Republican girls, I guess. And they brought on a list of speakers who harangued the young women there. And among other things, Benny Johnson told the young women there that their purpose in life was to keep having babies to make more Americans.
See? He said the truth out loud.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I remember there was this dude, Candace Owens knows about him, who wanted women of a certain country to just, you know, use their uteruses as clown cars. And have lots of babies for the Reich. And then, there was Alex Clark. And I guess she's cis female, even though she's got Alex. But she decided to unburden herself of her frustrations with liberals.
Whatever it is, no matter how large or how small, your actions matter. Make these 3 days matter. Take risks and initiatives here at this summit. Make friends with the person to your right and your left. Not only are you surrounded by fellow conservative women tonight, but you're also going to hear from the biggest, baddest voices in the conservative movement.
Woo! Woo!
And they're going to encourage you. They're going to give you a little pep talk here and there. And who knows, they might actually have some advice for you on how to find your dude-servative.
Dude-servative.
Yeah!
I remember
the audience for that. But they're also going
to... Oh, go, girl! It only gets worse because then we get, like I said, Benny Johnson... Get the hockey puck, Todd. You know, they really will. You know, give them a chance and they'll tell you exactly what they think of women.
So just like having that sweet bite of ice cream or a slice of pizza, man, you can't just stop at one. You can't just have one bite. You got to keep going. You got to keep having babies. I say this to all you out there, more Americans, more babies. Let's go. Greatest country in the world.
Greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, forever in the universe under God. More babies. Now, bear in mind, he's saying this to girls who aren't even old enough to vote.
That's smart. It's a plan. You see? And, you know, and so when some people say, well, part of this drive against Roe v. Wade is because there's a segment of our country that feels like there's just not enough white babies being born.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about.
And then, of course, and, because it's all a hustle, they pimped an app by invitation only. So that these girls at the and I don't mean that disrespectfully, these are girls, these are not women, these are girls, and it was called The Right Stuff, and it was an invitation only app to give you the chance to meet a conservative guy that you could potentially get married to one day. God damn.
No, that was the right word you used. That's awful. That is just taking advantage. That's awful.
You know, these fuckers are one step away from arranged marriages and trading them off in exchange for a couple of goats and a sheep and a camel and a few chickens. And then, you know, they can meet a conservative guy that they could potentially get married to one day who would eventually go on to beat the shit out of them because there was too much black pepper in the spaghetti sauce. I've told you about this. I've told you about putting spice in my food. God damn it.
You heathen?
Well, that's from a movie that I love, but yeah.
Yeah, I missed that.
Yeah, and then Patrick and then Miss Vita Boehm has to go in and kick the shit out of the right-wing Texas asshole. It's from Tu Wong Fu.
On that vein of talking about food, let's not forget, in parts of America, when you go to the supermarket, like Italian food, Italian sauce, that'd be in the imported or exotic section.
Oh, no kidding. Without a doubt. You're going to love this, though. That same guy said, if you're a woman of high value, you will attract a man of high value. And on its face, that's like, well, okay, but that is straight out of incel red pill philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And something called hypergamy. And it's really gross.
It is. And the age you're talking about. So they're already getting it primed for this.
Get them young.
So, I guess that's their.
I don't know what they did. I don't know what they did for the big party at the end. Maybe it was a Sadie Hawkins dance.
Oh, did you see that latest?
God, these people are so gross.
You know, the Beverly Hillbillies had a new episode out. So
what
happened? Yeah, what happened is that some big black buck came in from the city and was helping.
Really, big black buck? You said that? Okay.
Yup. And what happened is that Ella Mae, you know, she was making eyes at him. And boy, Jake Clampett, he ain't like that one bit.
No. Ellie Mae, get back to the cement pond.
And that's what started.
Go help Granny with the soap making.
See? Oh, God. No, but, you know, back to what you were saying, I mean, I was supposed to be dead. Anyway, that was supposed to be. You know, that's really unfortunate. I don't know. You know, there's enough for everyone in this world. And this splitting up, this hating on people, I don't know. It's just no room for that. You know,
but that's all. But that's the Republican stock in trade, Todd. It's what they've got. And they make the most of it. All they've got is hate.
I mean, and to target young people like that, I think, you know, that's very unfortunate.
Well, I mean, that telling teenage girls that they're nothing but baby factories, God, that's gross.
Well, you know, that's kind of what the Nazis encouraged toward.
That's what I said a minute ago. Yeah, more babies for them.
And a lot of these things, I mean, people don't like it, but I mean, it is what it is. You just look at it clinically, objectively, it's like it is what it is. I'm not making it up. You didn't make it up. This is what they did. This is what they said.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, so don't, in other words, when people keep walking like ducks, don't get upset when you call them ducks. You know, don't get upset.
If it steps like a goose and it honks like a goose.
It's a goose. So, you have any good leftovers?
There are no leftovers. Everything was consumed. And
what was it eaten?
Yeah. Oh, it was eaten. It was eaten with gusto and zest, and barbecue sauce.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's pulled pork and people. The folks who came to the Horn Inn have now had Kaneka Todd.
Death. See, were they impressed?
I fixed 4 pounds of Kaneka, and all but 3 links were gone.
Yeah. The thing, they don't play around. It's firmly packed. There's no filler.
Oh, no, it's amazing. And I had both. I was lucky because I had both the hot and the regular. Oh, and speaking of hot. Roger and Patricia brought me a jar of jalapeno sauce, homemade.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful. And then they presented me with a jar of homemade hot pepper jelly. And Patricia marked it XX hot. And Patricia loves hot stuff the way that I love hot stuff and you love hot stuff. Yeah. And it is, I mean, blazing. But it's not blazing I don't want any more of this. It's blazing like I'm on fire and I can't stop. Somebody help me.
When you said jelly, you see, that's, you know, honestly, it sounds weird maybe, but let's say you go to your favorite old fast food place and, you know, you're in a hurry, you get the sausage biscuit. Hot, real hot, especially hot. Some jelly on that and extra hot. See, sweet and hot go well together.
Oh, yeah, they do. I mean, I had just this morning, I had a freshly baked biscuit that I spread some cream cheese across.
Yeah.
And put on some of this jelly, and it was hot, but so wonderful. Oh, God, it was so good.
Has the peppers suspended, like the hot stuff suspended in the jelly?
Oh yeah, I mean you can see the little green and red flecks and the seeds and you know.
Yeah, it sounds good.
It's righteous.
Wow.
Hey, we've got some news on the front some kind of gun selling reform.
Hmm.
Joe to the mansion born is teasing us again. He says, of course, won't go anywhere. He says that he's in favor of raising the age to buy an AR-15 to 21. So that at least you can, on your 21st birthday, you can buy an AR-15 and a fifth of tequila. You can see the logic of that, can't you, Todd?
Yeah, but it's sad.
Now, bear in mind, he's not willing to break the filibuster over.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Congress has to do this
over, you know, a weapon that is so deadly and so effective. It can chop up children to the point that they cannot be recognized by anything other than fucking dental records. But, you know, Joe's for common sense solutions.
Well, this issue is, I don't know. This is a make or break issue. This is, there are parts of the country where people are absolutely not going to take any kind of thing that even looks like you're going to regulate their ability to possess, do whatever they want with firearms, and it's going to be met with pushback. And that's just where it is. And to think any otherwise is just, you know, folly.
Well, see, Joe gave an interview to West Virginia Metro News, which is a hopeless right-wing rag outfit broadcast platform, whatever, that's anchored by a dude who's a full-grown guy the same age as me and a little older maybe, who still calls himself Hoppy. I mean, I'd at least use my full name, you know, Hop Along, or I don't know, Hopdred, or you know, I don't, but anyway,
something more dignified.
I mean, come on, but
I'm sorry,
that's okay. West Virginia Metro News reported. Manchin is a long way from supporting a ban, but the fact that he is not opposed to the possibility is significant. That's how simple they are. And in fact, Manu Raju spoke to, on CNN, Manu Raju said, where's my cursor? Son of a gun.
The disappearing cursor, it happened.
Oh, God. Drives me bananas. No. Oh, this happened earlier. Oh, well, we're not going to play the audio, so fuck it. But he says, he, a proud gun owner, Joe to the Manchin Born, said, I never felt I needed something of that magnitude. Caliber? I don't even know any. But he's open to raising the age to 21. And I mean, why is it? Why, except for Civil War laws or post-Civil War laws, why are there laws that allow people to purchase guns, you know, ARs at 18? They can't even. Oh, never mind.
There's a lot wrong with that. No, there's a lot wrong with that. Let's just be factual and deal with empiricism here. We now know that most human beings are really not fully developed mentally until around 25 or 26.
30!
30, right.
Well, yeah, it's like right. 20. It's like, last I read, it's like 28.
It keeps going up.
I mean, you're the social scientist, not me. But.
Right. Well, it keeps going up. But I'm saying what we firmly know. We firmly know that. And, you know, it keeps going up because before it was what we thought it was. That's why stuff was 21. And you know, a lot of people maybe are misinformed about what happens with the type of weapon we're talking about. It's not a rifle. A rifle means that the barrel has this spiral groove in it, which makes the bullet come out like a football, like thrown by a professional quarterback, nice and straight, tight. And that's not what happens with these weapons. And they have a lot of gunpowder behind them. If you look at the bullet. And what happens is that it tumbles and it shreds and it breaks up stuff. So really, and that's what it's made for. If somebody hits you with just one shot, that could be, if you don't get to the hospital, that's pretty much it for you, maybe. Probably.
Well, the point of the ARs, you know, it was developed for warfare purposes. And the point of the ARs is to create a one-shot kill weapon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a lot of science that went into the what's called the NATO round, the 7.62.
Mm-hmm.
It's small. It's smaller than a 9mm round. It's like a
22 almost.
Yeah, it is. It's basically a 223. And the thing is designed to come out at a muzzle velocity that will serve as basically a Vegematic.
for people. And the only reason it's marketed to consumers, you know, non-military people, non-governments, is just pure capitalism. They create these notions of personal terror around it.
Okay, so here's the next question that has to do with human behavior. If you have a really fast car, and you know you live in a state where you really can't go more than 70-80 miles an hour, well, you know, at some point, do you think you're going to really speed with that car?
You're going to want to. Oh, speaking of which, object lesson.
Like
perfect example. Annette and I were on our way back from Beckley today. We were going through Oak Hill. No, we were at Glen Jean and pulled up to a stoplight right next to, and it wasn't a Lamborghini. I couldn't see the badge on the front. I couldn't see if it was a bull or a horse. But it was either a Lamborghini or a Ferrari, and I'm guessing Ferrari. And it was almost painful to me because I love sports cars.
Mm-hmm.
To watch whoever was driving that thing, you know, because the glass was, the windows were, you know, just tinted black. That poor car having its engine lugged to do 55 miles an hour. And it,
what is that, like second gear?
Oh, no, you're not out of first. You're not out of first. I mean, if you're out of first, you're lugging the engine. Must have been a somebody, because it had an Ontario plate, and it wasn't hard to memorize. It had an Ontario plate that was nothing but IA, a space, and the numeral 2. So I don't know who it was. And it was just cherry red. I mean, it was arrest me red. And I'm sure that every cop that they passed, and they were doing the speed, well, they gave up on doing the speed limit after a while. It's like, you know, I'm going to blow my engine up if I don't speed this thing up. And
open this thing up.
But every you know, I'm sure every cop that passed, like, oh, fuck, I'm not going to chase them. They'll be in Canada before I get to the West Virginia line. But they were Canadian, and they were trying to obey the laws of the state of West Virginia. And you know, the 65, they managed to hold to the 65. But when the speed limit dropped to 55, it was impossible. And they were over the horizon before I. You know. Pretty sure it was a Ferrari. But you're right. You know, you can, and that's the point I was trying to. You know, you don't buy an AR-15. Unless you think at some point you're going to use it on a human being.
That's where I'm getting at. And
you don't buy an AR-15 to hunt deer.
Right. Because you know what it is. I mean, some people don't.
It's a meat grinder for human beings.
Yep.
And that was, since we're running out of time, but going back to your original topic. No, I can't go back. Hold on. Let me try to do the other way. Going back to your original topic, Louis Gohmert, you know, I told you that he had a meltdown in the House of Representatives last week, and he's on his way out. Yeah, it was really angular, but usually Ron and Raleigh said if it was really angular, it was a Lambo, and if it was rounded, it was a Ferrari. But Lamborghini usually has that script Lamborghini across the back. But it was very angular. So maybe it was a Lambo. I don't know.
Like wedgie or just hard edges?
Yeah, it was just really cut, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say news.
Yeah, so we remember that movie Deliverance. I mean, and you know, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it?
Oh, and by the way, the reason Louie Gohmert's leaving Congress, he elected to run against Ken Paxton in the primary for Attorney General.
We'll see. We will see. So, I'm thinking about Scott in San Diego. And, it was funny. He mentioned something when I was there. It was in the spring. And he mentioned that it gets hazy. It's weird. You wouldn't think it would be hazy, but it's real cloudy in the morning. You know, it's breaking this time of year, but like April, March, April. And it's real hazy in the morning. You think it's not going to be sunny, but then sun finally comes out. And you get your fish tacos, on the beach.
No, that's nice.
It sounds nasty, but that mahi-mahi fish taco, man, two of those a day, you will live. You will live, believe me. I mean, even the homeless people are healthy.
And by the way, I don't know if you tuned in Friday, but Joey brought you a little tiny, a little license plate with your name on it because he didn't know if you were going to be there. So, Horn In 2 is June 1 through 4 next year. You'd be surprised. People came up and said, is Todd going to be here?
That's beautiful.
Is Tracy going to be here? Was there any chance Scary Jerry was going to be here? I mean, this community, it ain't about me. This community is loved.
Well, you talk about real stuff. Real things come up.
Maybe next year. Remember, next year in Fayetteville. Maybe next year. Because I need to have my barbecue judged by you.
Man, whoa. Wow. You're flattening me with that statement. I appreciate that.
And the turkey was not shabby either.
I've missed out on a lot of things. I heard Tara the other day.
Friday.
But I only caught a piece because I'm gonna tell you, I've been. Just because, I'm going through old stuff, and I don't want to sound like that guy, but whatever, I have to say it. I've been in and out of that airport in Charleston a few times, and it's scary as shit. They don't warn you. You're like, we're not landing there. I mean, it's like, what? It's a little flat.
We're going to have enough runway. I've landed at Jaeger a bunch, and there have been more than a couple of occasions where I've deplaned. And there was one time on a Saab turboprop when they couldn't get didn't work with the jetway, and you had to climb down out of the plane on the little steps, and I kissed the ground.
Seriously, I'm not kidding.
I've seen my little plastic cup of apple juice go into free fall. I literally grabbed it as it was floating above my little table before it had to be returned to its upright and locked position.
You know what?
Now, see, here I am. I'm scaring people because I got to tell you, there were some serious odysseys trying to get here. Tara went through hell trying to get in here, and Ralphs and Susie went through hell getting here. And it was because, couldn't find a pilot. But I'm happy to report that on the homeward leg, they all had just completely reasonable flying experiences.
You read my mind with that, because this is what I was thinking. Because after my third trip there, I started thinking, I was like, you probably had to be like an ex-military pilot to be able to land here. Because I've noticed you have to go in this like little circle, conical circle to really land there. You got to slow down and do a little circle. Because otherwise, you're not going to land. It ain't like no video. Oh, hell no. I mean, literally, you're laying on the top of a titty. And that's about it.
Yeah.
And I mean, it sounds crude, but that's the truth. It's like this little protrusion that's flat on top, and that's the airport. And so you're supposed to just drop out of the sky and land on that, and it looks like you're supposed to land on a postage stamp. And it's like, okay, that's not going to happen. Or, like, where's the airport? Because we're not landing there. But, yeah, you are. You better close the blind and don't look and get another drink. And
by the way, we may have an answer on our exotic car, Todd, because I hate to leave mysteries hanging.
Okay.
Arnold, Joey brought you
what's
a little.
Up Arnold, PA.
Yeah, Arnold, PA. Joey brought you a tag, too. So, for those of you who want your tag, send me a mailing address, and I'll pass it along to Joey. Matt in San Francisco has a tag. Tracy has a tag. Arnold may have solved our mystery. It's apparently a company, they're on YouTube, called Daily Driven Exotics. And Arnold suggests Older McLaren and says Daily Driven Exotics are from Canada. That would explain it. No bull, no horsey. Might have been a McLaren.
That is a badass car. Let me say this.
Well, see, I rolled my window down. I wanted to hear the music, but there's not much to hear at, 45
that's
miles
an hour.
That's
a race car.
Yeah, it is.
That McLaren ain't no joke. You get a lot of bang for your buck if you got that kind of money.
Well, and you can afford the upkeep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drive it for 1 hour, work on it for two.
Man, I'm glad I did what I did.
That's just the fox complaining that the grapes are sour.
Well, God. So anyway, too funny. How are your neighbors treating you?
You know what? I found out we have some new neighbors. And they're really wonderful people.
Oh.
They're wonderful people. I was out working on Horn In Food, and I saw our neighbor, and I hollered over and said, "Hey, beautiful day, isn't it?" And she said, "It sure is." And she said, "I met Annette and I met Robin and his dog," and she said, "We've been here a while, but you and I haven't met." And I introduced myself. She said, "Oh, I know who you are. I voted for you. Shit. I voted for you."
Oh! Sorry.
And then she said something that was music to my ears. She said, "It's surprising but so nice how progressive this community is becoming."
Ain't that some shit?
Yeah.
That's good karma.
And I was walking Tilly this morning, and she came out, and I said good morning again, and she had a solo cup, and I could hear it rattling. She was shaking it because there's a little kitten that's been hiding under their tray. And I mean, it's a tiny little kitten, and so she's feeding it and trying to take care of it. That was sweet. I need to say thank you. Thank you to Christopher. Christopher just Venmo'd us and helped with the challenge. And the challenge is now $70. Matt's D-Day 91 challenge. Because his uncle is 91 today.
It is D-Day.
Yeah, and so that's down to $80. And it would be great if we could at least meet the challenge, because there are grave things in the offing if I don't get caught up. Because, well, it's just been, the last couple of months have been real boogers. But thank you, Christopher. Christopher said, "Congrats, Robin. Meet some challenges with barbecue tofu." Yay. I need to make a pot of tofu chili soon. Because the chili base that I make, it would, it,
It would be good with marinated cardboard in it, but that's not to say that that's what tofu was like, Scott.
I believe that. No, because chili is so special. I mean, honest to God, chili.
Kind of the wrong time of year for it, though, isn't it? Should I wait till fall?
I don't know about that, because you can always put it on a hot dog.
Truth, not wrong.
I mean, sometimes you just, it's raining out, you just want a bowl of chili.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to have some monsoons here. This weather is changing.
That's like Scott in San Diego said a minute ago. In San Diego, it's gray May and June gloom. So there's, and the question was just asked, how much is remaining on the challenge? $80. And then that would get us, so that would mean that tomorrow we would be at 700. And
I know there's some people out there who've been listening and have never donated, and it won't hurt. It'll be less than, than getting vaccinated. It won't hurt that bad.
Hell, getting vaccinated doesn't even hurt. And come the 10th, I finished my antibiotics, and come the 10th, I can get my booster.
So everything's cleared up?
Seems to be.
Good.
And what a relief that is.
Johnson, I'm thinking. That's like, come on. We don't have time for that.
So I'm going to have to pee in a cup on Thursday, but that's cool. Whatevs.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say this, and I don't know if it's because of you or just people are standing up for themselves, and that's what I believe in. And I'm seeing more people who, are different or whatever. And the hate has to stop. Because if people just treat these people call themselves Christian and this and that, and then beyond religion, just treat people the way you want to be treated. It's really not hard.
Well, every religion on this planet has that as one of its fundamental rules. Don't treat people like crap if you don't want to be treated like crap.
It's
fairly simple.
That's not your business.
But at the end of the day, I saw a post from somebody the other day who said, I was raised in the Pentecostal church. And it was a trans woman. She said, I was raised in the Pentecostal church, and I'm really conflicted. And, because once religion gets its hooks in you, it's hard to get the hooks out. Because, they're barbed, and they, you got to push them through instead of pulling out. But she said...
Religion is a funny thing.
She said, I'm really conflicted. And I don't know what to do because Christians today... I can't abide to be identified with them because they hate people like me. And my response was, I think we're all going to be okay because Jesus wore a dress every day of their life, and he certainly did not identify as a Christian.
Jesus hung out on Skid Row. How do these people forget about this? He hung out with what we call, Skid Row,
the
low level.
I mean, he was, listen, when he did the first miracle and turned the water into wine at the wedding, let's be clear, that was screw cork wine. Okay? that was wine you could open with no other tools.
That's the way, you should have said that for Friday the 4th, man.
That is a new one. Screw cork wine.
That come on, in that context, that's a lot.
And by the way, Ralph's adds and says, for the people that aren't contributing, $10 a week is 2 to 3 cups of coffee in 2022 America. Because I used to say it's half a McDonald's cheeseburger, or it's literally half a stick of Wrigley's gum, and it's true. That's a $10 a month subscription. $10 a week is, as Ralph puts it, literally two or three cups of, capitalist coffee. So there's that. Todd, I'm so glad to talk to you this evening. I did want you to know that people. I think people want to meet like you and Tracy and some other folks, you know, frankly, more than me. And I'm not jealous. I do, too. It was beautiful to get to meet people that I had. I recognized voices, but didn't know faces, and to get to hang out to it for a couple of days. And it was a beginning. It's just it's kind of like my campaign for the House of Representatives. It wasn't an end. It was a beginning. And so that's going to be our rally. That's going to be our rallying cry for the next 360 days. Next year in Fayetteville.
Man, go team. Hey, look, you got it all over there. I mean, you've got the natural wonder. I've been online. I've seen. I mean, that's a big deal. You know, that valley.
And, you know, if we could get this, you know, we could arrange some adventures, you know, zip line through the Appalachian temperate rainforest canopy.
Man.
On the edge of a 300-million-year-old gorge.
You're starting to irritate me now. I'm thinking about them cold people messing this stuff up. But yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
And one of the coolest things was having several of the folks who came go to Pride with me. That was beautiful.
You know what? That's what people don't understand, and I didn't. Once again, I've been to West Virginia a lot in the past, and I was shocked. I didn't know what I was getting into. And now I look back, I was like, I was by myself. It was crazy, but I did what I had to do.
Yeah.
Everyone was so nice to me. I mean, honest to God, people will help you. It's a different, they may not like you, but they'll help you.
But around here, they'll like you, too. That's the neat thing about the greater Fayetteville Metroplex area. This is, the little sign that you see when you drive into town says, coolest small town, and it is.
Damn. I know you got to go. I really do. But let me ask you one thing, because this has been weighing on my mind. When you talked about the spring rolls, like, describe these spring rolls, please, because I'm really big on spring rolls.
Well, I mean, they were, first of all, they don't have the egg roll wrappers, you know, like the crusts on the old McDonald's fried pies.
Right.
This is the, like, it's smooth. And she makes it by hand, and she seasons it with her own special seasoning. And it's cabbage and carrots and onions, and she makes her own sweet and sour sauce, and just heaven.
Good God.
And they were hot and crispy, and the crust, just the wrapper, just fell apart in your mouth. Oh, see, I'm getting all excited again. Gang puts her food. Gang takes her food truck to a couple of places in Fayetteville at least twice over the weekend. Maybe during months in the middle of the week, and she's always got this wonderful stuff. She makes this beautiful Penang curry chicken. And of course, any time that I'm feeling, as we say around here, poorly, I jump on Messenger and, gang, I feel terrible. Can you please make me some tom yum that's Thai hot? And she says, yes, my dear friend. And I get it, and I said, and you can leave out the chicken, just the vegetables and the broth. And she says, okay, Thai hot, yes, Thai hot. And she loves to make things Thai hot for me, because there aren't a lot of people around here who can eat Thai hot.
Hey, Thai hot is Thai hot.
Yeah, and those evil little chilies that look like julienne carrots.
Man, I will never forget. I hope somebody has my bush, because honest to God, I planted a bush from seed. I had those Thai hot chili peppers from the fruit store, and they're small. They're no more. I mean, the inch is big. They're small, and they're so hot. And I planted that sucker, and it just took, I don't know what was in that soil, but it just took off. It turned into a bush, and it produced those Thai hot chilies. Listen, that shit, fuck a habanero. It's you can't touch nothing. Don't touch your eyes.
Fuck a habanero. I don't like habaneros. I think habaneros taste funny.
Because it's a different species.
Oh, I'm sorry.
From a regular chili pepper, but no. I know.
I mean, literally, like, you know, you're like, how big? Listen, in a big pot of soup, one. Start off with one, and then see how that works out.
See, she puts two or three in a quart for me.
Ooh, yeah, man, that's hot.
It'll break a fever. It will shatter a fever into a million tiny pieces.
I could use some of that now. I missed that. Well, anyway, it was nice talking with you. I'm glad you're doing well. And, you know, it's just you bring a halo of brightness around.
Well, thank you. You know, there's so much to be a little ray of fucking sunshine about. It's nice when we can just deal with the events and not wind up at the end of the program just wanting to curl up in the corner in a fetal ball and suck your thumb and cry, you know?
I mean, we got to move forward.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you have a good night, Todd.
You too.
All right. Talk to you soon. Later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so it looks like Matt's challenge will be met based upon communications from an anonymous listener who prefers to remain that way. And so that means we're down to $400 to go to come up even this evening. Another, maybe the overnight crew. I don't know. But it would be really helpful if we could get caught up. I mean, we're not that far behind. Caught up is not a fair phrase. It's just that there's some extreme financial stressors, and we'll talk more about that later. But thanks, everybody. It's great to be back in the studio. Can't wait till the Friday on the Front Porch Horn End 2 of June 2023. Save the date. Plenty of time. Let's do this. It is a blast. Okay, so thank you to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Remember, the best place to listen to the first round of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Now a union shop. This would be a great time. This Congress is coming to an end sooner than we think. Please reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and ask them, please, to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. It means the world to Appalachia. Please stay safe. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Maintain your social distance, 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. Wear your mask in big, crowded areas. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you saying, "What's this country coming to? You can't, if you're a Republican, you can't even lie to Congress nor the FBI no more." Well, avoid that asparagus farmer like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.